If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
First of all, how would you rate the program? Would you say it was excellent, very good, good, fair, or poor?
I think I'd give it a poor.
The next word is funny. Would you say it is very descriptive, somewhat descriptive, or not at all descriptive of the show?
No, not at all descriptive.
White people were blessed with the gift of structure and organization. You guys do a good job of building businesses and things of that nature. And you know how to tap into money.
And why does this delight the Negro?
How you doing?
Excellent question.
It's like a roller coaster ride of emotion in here.
Goal! Goal!
And now. Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It's 5:31, and it is Wednesday the 9th of May. I see them.
Check out those gigantic knockers.
He's had exactly. A new one every day. I'm impressed.
He has. He's made that. He's made that pledge to us.
Yes.
That is my commitment for the month of May. I see them. One of my favorite months of the year. The good thing about the fires is I felt that it had cooled down too much yesterday. I think that's what it was, is once it gets under 100, you need to do something to warm back up.
Yeah, I don't think it ever got to 100 below 100 at my house, unfortunately.
Oh, really?
When they say 100 in Los Angeles, it's 120 where I live, and it's not good.
It was 83 at 8 p.m., I know that.
Yeah.
I thought about you, Kevin, a couple of days ago. I guess maybe it was Sunday. I saw that it was 97 in Long Beach,
yeah,
but only like 90 in Woodland Hills. And I thought, how did you get a break? What happened there?
They left off the one. It was 190.
It was 190. Okay, yes. That makes a lot of sense.
Very hot. Yeah, these fires that are burning over by Griffith Park, I got a lot of email from K-Rock listeners because they noticed one thing about the Channel 4 coverage,
yes,
of these fires. And that's that they sent Chuck Henry back out.
Well, of course. He's their go-to guy.
Because if you recall, that's the guy who, of course, got the station van burned to the ground because he didn't move it when the fire department told everyone to move their vans.
Right.
Everyone else did, and then he didn't, and it burned to the ground.
How close did you see any of his coverage? How close did they let him get to the fire?
Not very. I actually brought in a little bit. This, first of all, is from last time.
I feel so badly for the people who lost their possessions. You know, the truck, who cares? Stupid truck with a bunch of equipment in it.
He seems to really resent the fact that the truck has equipment in it. He's very angry about that. Stupid truck with a bunch of equipment in
it.
Well,
plus the truck parked itself, of course. It's the truck's fault that it got so close to the flames, even though the, yeah, firefighters at the time were telling the driver of the truck to maybe park a little further down the road.
You guys need to move. This could be very a very bad situation. The flames... Oh, we're good. We're good. Everybody else moved. Chuck's just standing there. The van burns to the ground. So, again, yesterday, fantastic. They go back out to Chuck Henry.
Chuck Henry is live right now where some of those homes have been evacuated, and he has more for us. Chuck.
That's right, Colleen. We're at the entrance to what is a park maintenance area.
Okay. He's at the entrance to a park maintenance area.
Where he's apparently, nowhere near the fire.
Well, apparently it was there earlier.
Oh, okay.
But just not right now. They said, Chuck, go out, cover the fire. You have to keep a mile away. That's our rule for you.
This is where firefighters really made their last stand on the ground to protect the homes. We're going to roll a bit of videotape, and here are some of the homeowners who were evacuated just a short time ago.
Now, this is our favorite thing on Channel 4, because they always do the interviews, mm-hmm, and the people never have anything to say. Mm-hmm. The first guy was semi-interesting about how long he's owned the house and he's never had to, you know, get out before. But the second guy might be the shortest TV interview ever. So there's only two. Chuck Henry does a whole tape piece, but there's only two guys.
Okay.
Bought the house in 1970. Never once have we had to evacuate.
Yeah.
Surreal.
Okay, so Chuck's follow-up was, yeah.
Yeah.
And the guy says, surreal. Now, here's the shortest interview that has ever happened on TV.
Scary?
Scary, yeah, very.
I am.
And within.
That's it?
Scary. Scary, well, yeah, very scary.
Those are in depth.
That contributes a great deal to our understanding of the situation, Kevin.
It sure does, because we wouldn't have known it was scary.
It is
so pointless.
Well, no kidding. It's Chuck Henry. Has he ever done anything that has a point?
I mean, I'd like to know, did they grab some stuff?
Nope.
Did they have animals? What are they going to do? Where are they going to spend the night?
And by the way, a bunch of people were evacuated. 300 or something like that,
yeah.
I think.
That's right, yeah.
And Chuck got two, and one of them for 1 second. That was his whole package of interviews.
I know we all appreciate the nearly impossible work that firefighters do. I mean, it is, you know, one of the toughest jobs there is, and it's just remarkable. You look at a situation like this where hundreds of acres have burned, and no one got hurt,
yeah.
You know, either firefighters or civilians. And last I heard, there was only one roof, I guess, to some structure that had caught fire. They haven't lost any houses. When you consider how densely populated that area is, how close it could be with mismanagement to just, you know, burning the whole place down. It really is very impressive that they're able to do as well as they do down there.
By the way, that one roof that burned, I think Chuck Henry set that one. he wasn't close enough to the fire, so he needed to cause some of his own.
I heard that the fire was 100 yards or something from the carousel at the zoo at one point. I mean, that's how close it got, you know, to get right in there to where the, you know, where the stuff is. I mean, it's
that was scary.
And just like the Universal Studios fire, man, first thing I thought is, Kevin,
how dare you?
You just set
fields ablaze.
Yeah, you are a pyro, and they did say that this one was set by a guy. The first thing I thought is somebody must have seen that blonde hair out there. Somebody will identify him if it was him.
I have set many fires in my life, but not this one.
No, okay.
I was not out there.
Lisa, who did you hear? What did you hear about the suspect? Did they have someone in custody?
I heard that the guy was golfing or at the golf course and threw a cigarette and started the fire and then tried to put the fire out and got second degree burns. Yeah,
so it goes.
So he's probably in the hospital right now.
Oh, the guy got second degree burns.
That's what I heard this morning on the news. Yeah.
Oh, good. Good.
Well, let me tell you who was very upset by the fire yesterday. I mean, it's troubling to anyone. You watch that and you go, oh, man, I hope everybody's all right. But the guy who was really, really upset about it was Dave King of Mexico.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
Why
I know.
Is that?
He was furiously texting us last night because they were preempting the Gilmore Girls for fire coverage.
Oh,
he couldn't have been more upset. And when I last heard from him, there was some concern that Veronica Mars might also have some preemption. And I don't know if it ended up happening or if they ended up wrapping up their coverage before that. But
oh yeah, Channel 5 News. You know they wrap stuff up as soon as they can.
That's
right. Wait, no.
Well, nothing gets ratings like fire. I mean, that's number one. That's the best thing you can have on your television channel is fire. If you can find a fire anywhere in this country, put it on TV because people will watch it.
Sure.
That is true. I don't know why exactly. I love fire. I
mean, we know.
Not the, you know, the damage that it does to people in their lives.
It's kind of mesmerizing,
though. It just looks cool. I don't know. I have one question for the Griffith Observatory. Do we still have to make advance reservations, or might it be clear now?
Oh.
Good question.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't
know. So we'll have to find.
We'll have to look into that.
Call and find
out. How about the poor people that made advance reservations, finally took the stupid bus up to the observatory yesterday, and then got evacuated? How about those people? They just showed up, and they go, oh, sorry, I got to leave. I mean, that's making people jump through hoops.
When can we come back? Got to make advance reservations.
We did. Sorry. Might be another 3 months. Can't help you. Well, anyway, we'll obviously keep an eye on that. If Doc can concentrate on the news. I understand Shingles, the newsman, has something else on his mind today.
Oh, he does indeed. He's making the offers left and right.
Yeah, all I heard in the hallway, and I wasn't a part of the conversation, I was just listening to it, was Doc saying something about not being able to use his right hand. Maybe Mike could help him.
Yeah, he hit me up in the parking lot.
But he'd prefer Mike, right?
I think so. He definitely pressed him harder
than
me.
Mike would prefer Mike.
Yeah, that's hot.
Out of the blue, he walks up to both Lisa and I at separate times, by the way.
You know, without the use of my right hand, I might need some help with some small tasks, if you know what I mean.
I said, go get the Lubriderm, old man.
Oh, he did that.
Yes, he did.
I couldn't run fast enough, and he's asking for Lubriderm.
Open wide for Chunky.
He can't do that with the mitten on, right?
Well,
is that the problem? Is it the mitten?
Yeah. Yeah. The mitten hand. It's useless.
Right. Why is it useless? Because the hand's useless.
Yeah, the hand is basically useless now. He's down by one leg and one hand.
He is. He's got a couple of wheels missing. He's crawling down the hallway.
Yeah, screw you.
We need to do a team shingle coverage. That's what we need to do.
Yes.
Toss it to reporters all over the building and get the helicopter up in the air.
Send Chuck Henry in, see how close he can get without catching it.
I like it.
Now it's time for K-Rock News with shingles.
I like that Mike gets it up and just hits it whenever he feels like it, even though right. there's no break. All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin Amicho, shall we?
All right.
We have K-Rock Weenie Roast E Fiesta tickets to give away today.
Oh, that's good. Just Seriously, Mike, just try a little.
A little bit.
I was giving it the gusto that time.
A little energy. Right. Just up the energy just a tiny bit. We're also going to talk to a person who is a lab partner with Doto.
Oh.
At his school.
You know, I didn't even know he was in school.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons we want to talk to this guy is to find out, let's get Doto's story straight.
Yeah.
Because he makes it sound like he's graduated, yet he's always still in school. Yet he's traveling so much, how can he possibly still be in school?
Wait a minute. You're saying Doto is confusing?
Yeah, I'm saying he's effing shaky is what I'm saying.
Kevin Bean, this one thing I forgot to tell you, Kevin Bean. I need a woman.
We know that.
Bean, Lisa, and I were off the air the other day talking. We had like so many theories on what goes on with Doto because he's such a like a nebulous creature. I mean, you don't really know what goes on because every day it's a different story.
I thought he was trying to get into school to get his master's. Wasn't that
for a while? He was.
We've been emailed about that for months
now. He graduated, and then he's an international man of mystery. He shows up and, hey, where's Doto? Hawaii? Where's Doto? I don't know, Bangkok? It's just bizarre.
Like, yeah, in October, too. It's not like it's during summertime. I mean, he's always traveling. There's no way he'd possibly be in college.
But I also get the impression from his emails, and we'll ask Labby about this, that he keeps getting rejected for stuff. He keeps getting, he says, discriminated against. He can't make his grades or get accepted to programs that he wants to get into because of his poor communication skills. And he feels, you know, it's a violation of the Americans with Disabilities Act. And he always seems like he's this close to suing whatever school he's trying to get into.
He does. And we keep trying to bring him back down to earth and say, dude, you can't write.
Yeah. Right.
Let alone speak.
Speaking is difficult as well.
So anyway, we got to talk to Tim, who is apparently Doto's lab partner.
Yes.
And when you're in school, you know, you want the A student to carry your lazy ass.
That's right. Of course.
See, it's Doto at the F-Dup.
Drag you down.
Oh, man, that's hurting.
Don't take this the wrong way, but are you dim?
Yeah, exactly.
Also today, we're going to tell you about a new website called don'tsaywhat.org.
Huh?
And it's... Well, I guess they don't want you to be deaf. I think that's what it's about. I haven't read it yet.
That's exactly what it is they say that it's gotten too loud in this world, and people are having serious hearing losses from music and equipment and just the pace of life that they're trying to encourage you to take better care of your ears.
I think the iPod earbuds, those kind of things that everybody
can absolutely.
Also on today's show, if you had a job as a telemarketer, we're going to talk to you. Because that seems like maybe the worst job ever.
Oh, I can't imagine anything worse.
I hate them, as do a lot of people.
Yeah.
And they call all the day, all the night. Really, the only people that call my house regularly, LA Times. And they call 20 times a day.
They call Saturday mornings
at 9. Kevin, we haven't spoken to you in 5 minutes. What about that paper? Also on today's show, we have Amanda Peet.
I love her.
Oh!
Yeah. She's great.
Yeah.
Flatter.
Just a little. Energy. And Bean's favorite topic, the email that seems to be going around again, even though, actually, every single time the gas prices go up.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
This email gets sent around. Hey, how about the 15th? Why don't we boycott gasoline stations for one day? Bring them to their knees.
So we've got the guy who did the research on all of the various ideas about boycotting for a day or boycotting a specific company and how little that will affect the people who make the profit on
gas. No. I think he's saying it works. I think that's what he's saying.
I don't think that's the impression I got from the article at all.
Send that to everybody. Send it out.
Well, we're going to talk to him and put that up on the website, and maybe hopefully that'll spread the word. You can send a link to that instead.
Dude, nothing's going to spread the word. You know that. That's just not ever going to happen. You're going to get that email for the rest of your life. Bean is like a tortured soul with that thing, man. He opens it up and just starts bouncing off the walls. Just can't take it.
It infuriates him.
And listen today between 7 and 8 for Faint by Linkin Park. When you hear that, we will give you tickets to the K-Rock Weenie Roasty Fiesta. So that's all coming up this morning. We have Ralph Showbiz Beat is up next.
It looks like Ralph Garman joining us in the K-Rock studio with the first look at the Showbiz Beat for Wednesday morning. How you doing, Ralph?
Surprise, surprise. Former celebrity jailbirds are now giving Paris Hilton advice on how to spend her time in the Hooskow.
Excellent.
In the Clink. In the Grey Bar Hotel. Heidi Fleiss says that Paris will do fine, but the sun in the recreation yard is hard on your skin, so bring some sunscreen.
That's
really?
Good advice.
And always, always a good recommendation. You know, if I could give you any advice,
right?
Well, the sunscreen would be it.
That seems lame.
That's just me.
Can you smuggle that in? Is that one of the things they allow you?
I think you
put it up your ass or something.
I think you do put it up your ass. All right. Yeah. All right. Shannon Doherty, who also has done some time, says that her time inside was a nightmare because Shannon suffers from anxiety and claustrophobia. Can you imagine being in prison with both of those conditions? That'd be a bad time.
Yeah.
She thought at times she might die. Wow. Of course, she wasn't in danger of dying, but that's how she felt. So she's saying Paris is in for a hard time.
Okay.
And Christian Slater says that he likes to think his time inside did him some good, but it didn't. He said it was basically just humiliating and barbaric.
Wow.
However, he hasn't been back since, so maybe it had some effect.
Scared straight?
Yeah. Those are the celebrity updates and advice for Paris.
It'd suck to be a celebrity and have that part of your life behind you.
Yeah.
And then Paris is going to jail, so everybody starts asking you again.
You've been in prison.
What was that like?
More Paris news, of course. It's everywhere. A frustrated person in Sacramento is so upset about the FreeParis.org petition online for Governor Schwarzenegger to give her a pardon that he has started his own online petition at iPetitions.com. You can find it under a petition, No Reprieve, where he's begging the governor not to pardon her. So she's got it coming from both sides.
Okay.
Which is a condition she's used to.
I don't think there's really much danger of the governor getting involved on this one.
Dude, you don't know.
This isn't a guy going to the gas chamber with a witness who comes forward to say the guy didn't do it. I mean, this isn't what's going on here.
But Elliot Mintz said it was his fault that she drove. Same thing.
Yeah.
Same exact thing.
Is that the publicist or manager that she fired and then rehired?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Once their employ didn't work, I guess she said, okay, you can have your job back now.
I guess you probably saw, Ralph, that there's going to be a Free Paris rally out at Washington Park. Is that what it's called? Washington Park, Mike? Tomorrow?
Yes.
Yes, Mike says.
Fantastic.
There's supposed to be signs and everybody down there protesting because of the unfair treatment she's getting. Come on.
There's going to be sins, not signs.
That's right. Sins.
Look at her petition.
Yes.
She asks everyone to please sin her petition. S-I-H-N. Yeah. Points off for spelling. I don't know, another couple of years. Here's some celebrities who may be Paris's roommate. Inside, Tom Sizemore, believe it or not, is in trouble with the police again.
Huh.
What?
Tom Sizemore was busted by cops in a car outside a hotel in Bakersfield, California. And let me tell you something. No good can come from that. When the cops are on your car in Bakersfield, something's going down.
It's all bad.
Turns out Sizemore had two bags of crystal meth and some pipes.
Wow.
Cops were called after an associate of Mr. Sizemore's got into a fight with an employee at the Four Points Sheraton Hotel where they were staying. Sizemore is still out on 3 years probation after he tested positive for drug use in January 2006. He's supposed to be having weekly drug tests. I guess maybe this was an off week.
You can tell how his career has been going with this downward spiral of drugs that he's still known best as Saving Private Ryan's.
Yeah.
Tom Sizemore. Like, that's the last thing he did that people remember because he's just been in a drug haze ever since.
Well, Black Hawk Down, he was in that too.
Yeah, I remember that.
Oh, he was, wasn't he?
Yeah. Paparazzi,
yeah.
That okay, so he's been in a
blockbuster.
Just not anything good.
Yeah, but in the media, that's always they tag him because it's the biggest, most high-profile project he's been on recently. And George Michael's also perhaps heading for some jail time.
He admitted to
a judge yesterday he pled guilty to a charge of driving while unfit due to drugs. This stemming back to the charge when police found him slumped against the wheel of his car, asleep in the middle of the intersection. George said he was tired and on prescription drugs at the time, but admitted in court that I did something very stupid. Copying that, he said he only took prescription drugs while he was sleeping, but he was still guilty of being unfit to drive. Boy George.
That's
George,
George Michael.
different performer. But thank you for your attempt.
Are they all the same to you, Kevin?
Anyone named George?
Is his name George?
Anyone named George in a pinch.
You know what I mean? George Harrison you can pull out to really bring this story to life?
I don't actually. Yeah.
Star Magazine's scaring me.
Why?
Why?
They have a story in Star Magazine this week that House may be getting a makeover.
What?
The only member of the cast that the producers have re-signed so far for another season is Hugh Laurie. All the other characters are in limbo.
Huh.
Saying that they may be making some changes to House's supporting staff there at the hospital to mix things up now that the show's a smash hit.
That's what they do when it's a smash hit, is change everything?
Well, I think they feel now that they have the collateral with the viewers that they can, as long as they keep him, they can probably reduce some salaries, maybe move some new people in, attract some new talent.
You know, you're right, Ralph, because those shows that have a lot of cast members get very expensive to make very quickly once they hit, because everybody wants the big raise. Maybe that's what this current plot line with Foreman stepping down is all about.
It's very possible. They added Piper Perabo last night.
Ooh.
Yeah. Hey, now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Excellent.
Looks like she's going to be House's new love interest, which I am all
House's
for.
House's new love interest?
Yeah.
Is she half his age?
Yeah. That's the best part, Lisa. Ew. You say it like it's a bad thing. Ew. She plays a...
It's good for him, bad for her.
Very nutty sort of new agey nutritionist in last night's episode.
Excellent.
And he just cops to everything. He says, I like drugs. I'm not very faithful in my relationships. I'm not very honest. And she's like, well... And he says that I'm miserable all the time. She goes, how can you be miserable if you just sleep around and lie and do drugs all the time? Very funny episode.
I could have done, and I know the doctors deal with a lot of, you know, body parts and stuff, but I could have done with less floater talk last night on the show.
Oh, wow.
Let's talk about which floaters.
Kind of, it's always about number two.
Yeah, but I know it's a useful diagnostic tool and everything for the doctor, but come on.
It's all about the dookie. That's all I'm saying. You know who, I was thinking last night as I watched the shows, you know, I'm obsessed with this show. This and Heroes are my two must-see TV shows.
Right, right.
But this House thing blows me away. And I would love to see if we can get him on our show and talk to him. Because he doesn't get a lot of praise. He doesn't get a lot of attention on that show. But Robert Sean Leonard is the anchor of that freaking show.
Which one is he?
He's tremendous.
Wilson. He plays Wilson, his best friend.
Yeah, he's
the guy
wonderful.
Is amazing on that
he's
show.
He's great.
He really is the bedrock on which that show sits.
Yep. He's the guy that sang that War a Stupid song, Kevin.
That's right.
Yeah. That sums it up for you.
Let me get that up again.
No.
No?
We're good. And Billy Ray Cyrus sadly got booted off Dancing with the Stars last night.
Finally.
Oh, sorry.
Orange?
We're all sorry to see BRC hit the road. So,
was terrible.
BRC?
BRC, yeah.
Okay.
So we're left just with Joey Fat One and some other people.
Fatone. I think it's Fatone.
I don't know. I don't watch the show. So, but there's other people left.
All right.
Don't care.
I didn't watch it last night.
Don't lie.
I didn't watch it.
Did you watch Bee Gees Night on American Idol?
Was that the worst episode of American Idol you've ever seen?
Well,
pretty effing shaky.
It was awful.
Well, Jordan acquitted herself okay in that one song,
well,
I think.
Yeah, that's it, though. There was one song that was decent of the whole hour. And they really, remarkably, Kevin, tried to do too much in this show, and they were just speeding through it. I mean, cutting people off, starting the music when people were still talking. They couldn't work fast enough
usually
to try to get everything in an hour.
2 hours of filler, usually. But this one, they had a one-hour show where they packed 90 minutes of programming into it. Sing!
Screaming at kids, get out there.
Sing faster!
It was hilarious.
They knew how bad it was. They were just trying to get to the end.
Well, they ran over. It was just insane.
And Barry Gibb, I didn't need to see what he looks like today, I'll tell you that.
Yes, very good now. Very good for some reason, can no longer move his jaw.
This is Joe Wire Chuck.
He talks like this. Yes. Oh, we had a great time at the VGs. So it's good to have done it. These kids are great.
And if you're going to have that much hair and then let it go gray.
And then go bald.
And then go bald on top of it.
Yeah.
Not a good look.
No.
I'm going to suggest something that's way out there.
Don't say don't watch it because we're going to keep watching.
But you hated it.
But it's great. It's fun to hate.
It was a terrible show. Oh, it was a bad show.
Okay, Bean, you stop watching it.
Yeah, I enjoyed the hate.
I love it. Are you kidding me?
Oh, dear God.
Although I got an ass full of Beatbox Charlie every week doing his beatbox shtick in every song.
Get him out of there.
He's doing Bee Gees songs like, Stayin' Alive and
That is literally the only thing that sounds entertaining about that show.
Horrible. He just jams beatboxing in any song he sings. I think we're doing a ballad. Feelings, nothing more than.
But wait a minute.
Feelings.
Aren't they down to like the final four?
Four?
Yeah.
He's the only guy left. He's the only guy left.
How does a beatboxer get into the final four?
I don't know.
That's ridiculous.
The girls think he's dreamy.
I guess.
I think that's what it comes down to.
Wow.
Even Brandy was last night was like, dog, you don't have to do that every song, man. Pick your spots,
They didn't know he was a beatboxer when they put him through the
I
last
think they're all just
weeks.
Getting an asshole. It's been, you know, it's been months of this now. And they're like, sing something without going.
They could always bring back Sanjaya.
Yeah. Maybe they should. Today's celebrity birthdays. Wow. A passel of birthdays today.
What's a passel?
A bunch.
Oh. Okay.
Mike Wallace from 60 Minutes.
Mm-hmm. I'm Mike Wallace.
89 years old today.
No kidding.
Still working on that show at 89. And I have to say, pretty sharp.
Yeah. He's sharp, but
pretty
he's
good interviewer.
Super grouchy.
Well, he's
like
89. He's still working. Wouldn't you be grouchy?
Rah, 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 rah.
He's way overdue for retirement. You need some
golf. Don't have time for nonsense if you're 89, Kevin. You're allowed to be mad at everything, because why waste your time with stuff you don't want to do?
Time keeps on ticking, ticking, ticking.
Into the future.
Albert Finney, one of my favorite actors, is 71 years old today. Allie Mills, who played the mom on The Wonder Years, turns 56. Rosario Dawson,
yes,
28 years old today. You've probably seen her most recently in Grindhouse. Dave Gahan from Depeche Mode is 45 years old today. And Ghostface Killah.
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
From Wu-Tang Clan is 37 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Well, here's one you may not have heard about before. The website, the campaign is known as don'tsaywhat.org. Apparently, guys, America is in crisis and didn't even realize it. More young people, Kevin, according to their site, have hearing loss now than old people because we're just living in a louder world. And this is a website that is determined to do something about it. So you know, we thought,
they talk a lot about hearing loss and the things that can make you lose your hearing. And one of the worst is live concerts, which we have all the time. And you walk in front of speakers, you don't even think about it.
But you walk out and your ears ring for 24 hours. I mean,
if it's a good show. If the show's good.
Yeah.
Queens of the Stone Age is playing, then that's the way it works.
And they bleed.
I can still hear Queens of the Stone Age from 2 years ago. So that's how I know that was a great concert. So what do young people need to do to not go deaf? Dr. Bill Austin is the founder and CEO of the Starkey Hearing Foundation, and he is on the line with us now on the Kevin DeMean Sean K-Rock. Good morning, doctor. Thank you for joining us.
Morning. Thank you for having me.
Well, I got to be honest, this is why you started the campaign. This is not a problem that I think about, probably not a problem a lot of our listeners think about, is hearing loss.
Absolutely, and especially with your listening audience. I know you guys, from what I hear you do, as you mentioned, the live concerts, you play the popular music, which is often played at a loud decibel level.
Occasionally, yes.
And with the use of young people with more portable entertainment systems like the MP3 players, when predominantly wearing earphones, when that music is played at a high volume over, let's say, 80 to 90 decibels, it can be a serious source of damage to the hearing.
Sure, sure. And if somebody has damaged their hearing, is it the type of thing that they can then repair, or once you've lost that ability, is it lost for good?
Once the damage is done, unfortunately, it is done. The cells in the eardrum do not come back. And so once that damage is done, you can, of course, turn to hearing aids, hearing instruments, that sort of thing. Sometimes medication or surgery is required. But once that damage is done, it is done. So preventative measures are key.
What kind of preventative measures are you guys talking about?
Well, I'm sorry. Once again?
Preventative measures, sir, are you guys talking about?
Well, no, preventative leisure is important. You need to relax. You need to, get away from the sound, the loud sounds, sometimes in the workplace. A vacation is a great idea. So, yes, preventative leisure is an excellent idea.
No. You said preventative measure.
Oh, preventative measures.
Yeah.
Keeping volumes down, trying to wear ear protection when possible when you're at the workplace, if you're dealing with heavy equipment or firearms, something that creates loud noises. Just keeping in mind that you need to protect your ears.
Right.
What about, and a lot of people complain about this, even in your own living room, doctor, it seems like the television commercials are so much louder than the show that if you don't make a distinct effort every single time to get those volumes down with your remote, you're going to go deaf just sitting in your own couch.
Well, no, death is not an option. You won't die.
No.
You won't go, you won't have death on your couch.
No, he said death.
I'm sorry?
Death.
Once again?
Death.
Deaf. You can't hear, deaf, not able to
Excuse me?
Sound.
No, I'm not there. No, I am here. Yes, I'm here. Can I help you? Yes, hello?
No, I was asking about the TV commercials. Does it seem like television commercials are so much louder than the shows that they're in sometimes?
TV?
Yes.
No, TB is tuberculosis. That's a completely different disease than hearing loss.
Dr.
So
Austin,
there's no danger of getting TB from any of these noises. But sometimes if the TV is too loud, I know sometimes that could be a problem.
Hey, doctor, have you had yourself checked out? Have you had your ears checked recently?
I'm sorry?
Have you had yourself checked out recently?
Once more?
Have you had your ears tested?
My ears have rested, yes. My ears are always rested. I wear headphones at all times to block out loud sounds, so my ears are rested pretty much 8 hours a day. I make sure my ears are very rested.
What about tested?
Once again?
Lisa? Hello? Hello?
Have you had your ears tested?
Homo says what?
Oh, my God.
Do you speak English?
I'm sorry?
I thought it was don't say what. I didn't know it was homo says what.
I got to tell you, yesterday Ralph did a story on his showbiz beat about celebrities and the jobs that they had when they were younger.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them was really funny to me because he said that Johnny Depp sold pens on the phone. He would cold call people on the phone and try to sell them pens.
Because they're hard to get in stores?
Yeah, and I don't even, like, that must have been way before our time because who would buy pens over the phone?
I do remember light bulbs, though.
Do you?
Yeah, but I think they were raising money, supposedly, for some organization.
Political is all I get. Political and L.A. Times. That's it.
Right.
Yeah. But I get L.A. Times on a regular basis, but I can't imagine picking up the phone, dialing a number, saying, you don't know me, but I've got a pen that writes like a mother effer.
Unless it's one of those space pens that NASA has that, you know, you can write underwater and upside down and all that. I mean, otherwise,
but still,
Lisa's right. It's a 10-cent paper mate. I mean, yeah. What are you selling? How do you sell those?
And even if people think it sounds good, don't you think most people would probably just try and find it somewhere else? I don't think I would buy something like that over the phone. But it must have been like in the 80s or 70s or 80s.
70s,
or
probably.
Maybe even early 90s before the internet was so huge, right. I imagine.
Right.
Yeah. I don't get soliciting calls, as you know, because I'm the invisible citizen, because
that's
I'm
correct.
The guy who can't get on a jury. So I never get those calls.
No.
Occasionally, once in a great while, like once every couple of years, I'll get a survey where they call to ask you about TV shows you like or something like that. And I'm so excited. I always talk to those people. I love it. But I never, ever, ever get the selling calls at all. But my understanding is, you know, a lot of the ones I read about are people who are, you know, trying to sell timeshares, for instance, or trying to sell land. You know, it's big money scams, basically, is what the people I hear about. Stuff like selling pens over the internet. You're right. That's completely foreign to me.
I can't imagine doing that. And then we had D.L. Hughley on, and we're going to take some phone calls, 1-800-520-1067. If you've ever had this job, calling people that don't know you to try and sell them something sounds like hell to me. We had D.L. Hughley on, and he was talking about a job that he used to have with the dreaded L.A. Times. You got a job as a telemarketer for the Los Angeles Times?
And actually, I got cussed out by Jay Leno. He actually cussed me out.
What are you talking about? You called him randomly?
I called him. No, well, you know, yeah, it was for the L.A. Times, and right. I called him. And
hey, I don't blame him. I hate you people.
Yeah.
Yes, I do. You know why? They call all hours of the day and night, and they will not take no for an answer. You finally, if you live in Southern California for very long, you finally just start taking the paper so they'll leave you alone, and then they keep calling you.
They do. They keep calling anyway.
You have the paper, and they keep calling you. And
what do they call to say? Do you want another copy?
And you say, I get the paper, and they said, yeah, but don't you need it at work, too?
It's unbelievable. They will not let go.
And if you only get the weekend, they just press you to get the weekdays.
Yeah. But I think the problem with that is newspaper circulation is going down because of the internet, I would guess.
Yeah.
But those people are just pit bulls. They're the pit bulls of telemarketers. They will not let go.
You know what it seems like these days would make a telemarketing job almost impossible is that I think we all have a heightened awareness of credit card scams. And who, if somebody's going to sell you something, who is ever going to give somebody a credit card number to buy something to a person on the other end of the phone that you don't know?
Yeah. Old people.
Yeah.
Maybe old people, I guess.
You guys remember Tom Mabe, the Revenge of the
course.
Telemarketer? This is a guy that plays jokes on telemarketers. And listen to this. This is very funny.
Hey, Michael. I hate to interrupt. This sounds good, but when you called in, I had another call in Avalon. Let me get rid of this call. I'll be right back.
Oh, no problem.
Hey, Jim, let me give you a call back. I got the stupid-ass telemarketer on the line. This one sounds like more of a dumbass than the most of them. And, hey, what's your son's a get a real job and quit bugging me. You're going to be around about 2 o'clock.
Mr. Mays, this is still the dumbass telemarketer.
He didn't have anybody else on the line. He's doing that on purpose and recording it. And I love those calls because he just tortures those people.
That's awesome.
So 1-800-520-1067 is the phone number. You can call anytime about this telemarketing. If you had a job like this even earlier in your life, it just had to have sucked ass.
Oh, yeah.
Scott in Los Angeles. Good morning. Hello, Scott.
Hey, Scott.
Oh, hey, I didn't know you guys were on with me yet. Hi, Kevin. Hi, Bean.
Hi there.
Well, we hoped that Hey Scott might be the tip for you.
You know what? I'll tell you, the pen business was the grandfather of the current ink cartridge and toner business over the phone.
So you call up people and say, do you need color cartridges or ink cartridges for your printer now?
Businesses.
Oh, businesses. I see. Okay. And they buy from you from a cold call?
They do. You know, it's a little more tax involved than do you want some, of course. There's a lot of strategies and business plans and such involved. But basically, yeah, cold call businesses and
Scott, let me ask you this. Why wouldn't somebody buy ink cartridges if they're looking to save money? Why wouldn't they buy them online?
Well, there's a lot of different grades of quality and different stuff. But bottom line, people want to be sold.
They do. They want to be sold. How much money do you make in a year doing this?
A little over $100.
Really?
$100? $100 doesn't seem like very much.
Does not seem like it's enough.
A little over $100,000 a year.
Oh, my doing God. That?
Selling yeah. pens and ink cartridges.
Yeah.
It still sounds like a horrible day.
You win.
It's funny
that I hear Johnny Depp used to do it because he's not the only actor, only person in the industry, the Hollywood industry that I've heard has had their start in some kind of telemarketing or telephone sales business, because a lot of the same things, improvisation, a lot of that is involved.
Johnny Depp doesn't seem like the outgoing, slick salesman type, does he?
Mm-mm.
You know what I mean? Like he wouldn't say, like Scott just said, people want to be sold. It just seems like he would be terrible at that.
You know what? It just takes certain types. Some people that get on the phone just like they get on the stage, and they're a different person than they are.
That's
the
right.
99%
I guess.
Of the
yeah.
Hey, he was able to.
Radio.
Yeah,
he
sure.
was able to fool Al Pacino into letting him in that mob when he was Donnie Brasco.
Nope.
I mean,
he's
good. Mm-hmm. All right, Scott, that's an awesome call, man. I wouldn't ever have imagined you could make that much money calling people on the phone and selling stuff. But thank you for the call today. That's great.
It makes
you
sense.
Guys have a good one.
Thank you. It makes sense.
You
though
too.
Businesses does make sense. About $100,000.
Yeah, that's impressive. He's good,
man. All right, we got a bunch of people on hold. You'll never believe what they were selling, and most of them are admitting that it was a complete scam. 1-800-520-1067. We'll take your calls now. It is scary to me how many people have to sell things over the phone.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, if you need a job and you look at your options, especially if you're just starting out, you think, man, I'd rather be, as crappy as it is, I'd rather be sitting in a chair talking on the phone than, you know, making hamburgers or something like that, or sweeping up, or doing something, you know, physical. I mean, a lot of people get into it just because they think it's easy, but just, it has to wear you down. It has to be, the rejection rate has to be 99.9% of people you call, right?
Yeah, when I get a call like this, I try to be nice. I say, no thanks, I'm not interested. I figure I'm not going to waste their time or my time. I imagine that's got to be a very high rate of people like that.
Oh, yeah. You know, there are angry people, too.
The Revenge of the Telemarketers CD out, carpet cleaner calls a guy's house.
Can you guys get blood out of the carpet?
Well, I
got blood all over the place, man. Oh, God. I got it on the drapes. I got it on the couch. I got it all over the place. Look, can you come over now?
Oh, my God.
I love that he plays jokes like that on them.
1-800-520-1067. What did you sell? How'd that work out for you? Let's talk to Eric in Covina. We'll try to hang on if you're on the line. We'll try to get to everybody that we can. Eric, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Eric, what did you used to sell?
Good morning, Kevin and Bean, and hello, the lovely Lisa May.
Hello, Eric.
I used to sell the NASA space pens.
Now
there you go.
Now that's the one that Bean just gave the example 10, 15 minutes ago about that's something he could understand and would buy.
Exactly, but let me tell you something. The Bic ballpoint pen will do exactly the same thing. It writes on porcelain. It writes upside down.
Really?
Water.
Underwater, they really have marketed that well then.
Yeah, and it's the same thing as the Bic. But I'll tell you what. I'll tell you exactly how to get revenge on a telemarketer.
Please.
We used to call him a stroker. What you do, you know, for example, after I got out of the business, I had a guy call me and tell me he had some cameras to sell. You know, I was going to win this big prize, but I had to qualify for the grand prize by showing that I was a customer.
Right.
So I had to buy this camera. The camera was $300. And I told him, I said, is that all? Well, hell, for that price, give me three of them. Make it five of them. I can give these to my family for this price. The dude got all excited and he was jazzed. He was going to make a killing off me.
Yeah.
So what he does, he says, okay, somebody from my office is going to be calling you back here shortly just to confirm your order. I said, okay, no problem.
Now, I apologize for time, Eric. We're going to have to get right to the point where you tell them no sale.
All right, well, I hang up and wait for the call, and then they call me back, and I said, I didn't talk to anybody like that, and I went back and forth for help.
Most of us don't have that kind of time, but if we did, that would be fantastic. Thank you for the call. Let's go to Eric. This seems like a tough one to sell on the phone. Eric in Orange, good morning.
Hey, how you doing this morning, Kevin and Bean? Good. Lovely Lisa May.
Hello.
What did you used to sell?
Yeah, I used to sell surgical latex exam gloves.
What?
Latex now, exam gloves.
To hospitals?
Outside of call in West Hollywood. Where's the audience for that?
Oh.
Hello?
Yeah, where did you sell it to? Who? Hospitals?
We would contact hospitals all across the United States and convince them that they already ordered these gloves and that they're on their way, and we just wanted to confirm it.
No way!
Really? So it was a complete scam.
Oh, it was everybody there was on either house arrest or probation.
Good times right there. Thank you, Eric, for that call.
Oh my
wow.
God.
Let's go to Matt in Yucaipa. Another difficult sale, I would imagine. Matt, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good. Hey, Matt. What did you used to sell on the phone?
Cars. Brand new cars. When times were slow at the dealership, they give you a stack of phone numbers to call from the service department. And they give you a little history of the car, whatever, you know. And some people have like 20,000 miles, and you got to call them and convince them to come in and try the new car. And they got the same year car you're still selling. And the thing is they monitor the phone calls once in a while, and they'll also call back and check on the customer and make sure you actually called them. Because you got to write down notes and stuff of what you're doing. But
how many cars did you sell over the phone?
Done. And I must have made, in about 4 months, I must have made 1,000 phone calls.
God, what a nightmare.
I had one guy call and he's like, sure, I'll be right in that afternoon. And he came in that afternoon, and I ran out and shook his hand, and he goes, hey, and he knew the general manager, and he was just putting me together.
That's wow. Funny. How about that? That's a tough call.
So you said you would call people who had already bought cars from the dealership and try to get them to upgrade to a newer model? Is that what you're talking about?
Exactly. They would get the numbers from service.
Right.
How about that?
Give you, you know, a number. A lot of times, like, they got, like, 20,000 miles, and you're like, you want to buy a new Malibu?
Dude, after 2 months of calls, wouldn't you think you'd start to get depressed at that point because you hadn't made one single sale?
Yeah,
oh,
that's
my
rough.
God. Let's go to Vince in Ventura. Good morning, Vince.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good. You used to sell what?
Basically, we had all the auction listings for all the foreclosed homes, the repoed cars.
Right.
You see that for like $500. They might have sold one, and then that way they can advertise it like that.
Oh, I see. So they advertise that it's $500, and then they sell one, and then the rest of it is more expensive?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's a total sham.
That's the way
they look at it.
Isn't that the way the airlines do it, too, is they advertise, you know, a low
yes.
fare?
Right.
And there's
exactly.
only a few of them
exactly.
at that price? Yeah.
Yeah, you can fly from Los Angeles to Paris for $19 if you get that one seat. Everybody else, it's $2,000. Right.
Yeah. All right, let's go to, is it Jane?
Lane.
Oh, Lane. I'm sorry. Can't even see that. Lane, hi.
Hey, how's it going, Kevin and Bean? Lisa May.
Good morning.
What did you used to sell?
I used to, well, I didn't sell anything, really. I set appointments for living trust. I called elderly people.
Oh.
Hey, you're going to die. What are you going to do about it?
Scammed old people.
Lame.
Yeah, well, basically, it was just a foot in the door to sell them in, life insurance. And the place I was working at got raided by the FBI one day.
Nice. You're not having a party till you get raided by the FBI.
Exactly.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm just sitting there working, and all these cops come swarming through the door, waving badges and had FBI jackets off and told everybody to get off the phone.
All right, Lane, let me ask you this question. Did you think what you were doing was real, or did you know it was a scam?
Oh, I knew it was a scam, but I didn't care. I was 17 years old, man. I was making all kinds of money at that place.
I like it.
What? Help me out here, Lane. What's illegal about calling people up and arranging to sell them life insurance? It seems like that would be legal.
I don't know exactly what was illegal about it. I really didn't, you know, ask too many questions of the cops when they were questioning me. They just took my folder full of paperwork, and I guess the cop that came to the front door, like, kicked in the door and did a little roll and had a gun waving and stuff.
Nice.
Awesome.
That's fun right there.
We totally got raided, and that place went under in about less than a year.
That's
so
fantastic.
After that, I started working construction.
How much money did you make, would you guess, scamming old people?
I know that the year I was 17 and I was working there, I made $22,000 that year.
Wow.
Dude.
It's not bad for a 17-year-old.
Not bad.
I'm going to start scamming old people.
That does seem like the way to go, right?
It's a good deal.
But I don't know if you remember this lady. Remember the crazy woman that called back the telemarketer and was so angry? Or was she calling a supervisor? Who was she calling?
I don't know. I don't
this crazy, crazy, crazy woman.
I need to talk to your lawyer. I just called my lawyer.
What state are you from, ma'am?
It doesn't make any difference. You don't get to ask me any questions. I was just abused. I can call you any swear name. I need your first and last name. And believe me, there are consequences. Mm-hmm. It was to the point where I actually had an appendix rupture because of telemarketing calls.
That's right.
The police are listening.
Okay. My name's Alex.
What's your last name?
I don't get my last name.
You called my house, Alex. Then let me talk to your supervisor. The police are ready.
Okay, I actually am a supervisor here. I can help you.
You broke a law. You did a felony arrest. You called my number. I used to be an EMT. People died because my answering machine was full. You don't have to give your last name, Alex.
Yes. Not if I don't want to.
You son of a mother. Okay, so what now?
Are the police sure?
Yes, so they want me to get you. You bet. Wait, you can hear it in a minute. You can hear the click. You guys?
Yeah, not
quite. I heard a click.
Oh, my God.
I used to be an EMT. People died. I didn't realize that when you're an EMT, they leave messages on your machine. Hey, we got a heart attack. We need you to come over as soon as you can. Thanks. Bye.
Hope you get this. Why is Lightning teasing us with hotness, by the way? Is this how he gets us to show up for work every day? Is yesterday he says, hey, guys, you get to talk to Mandy Moore if you come in. Mm-hmm. And then we drive in, and then we find out there's no Mandy Moore. And then today he says, hey, guys, we got Amanda Pete for you. And then now he's telling us we may not have Amanda Pete. Is he just teasing us?
He's just being wrong, man, Bean.
I guess.
Just as God made him, fellas. He's shooting like, I don't know, maybe 20%. We get about 2 in 10.
I love Amanda Pete so much and totally want to talk to her, though, is what I'm saying.
Okay, and that helps us out.
You can't.
Oh, well, you really want to talk to her. Okay, then we'll find her.
I hope she comes through. And the movie, The X, looks very funny. So hopefully we'll get a chance to talk to her. Also, you're listening for Linkin Park's Faint. When you hear it, be caller 20. Win your tickets for KROQ Weenie Roast E-Fiesta 2007. That's coming up on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat. Good morning, Ralph.
Speaking of hot, Jessica Biel is just fed up with being so hot.
What?
Well, she could eat more.
She's complaining about her hotness. She did an interview with Elle Magazine saying she's fed up. After being voted the sexiest woman in several men's magazines, she says now directors are giving her jobs based on her beauty rather than her acting ability.
So?
And parts that she wants are out of her reach, she claims, because she's too darned attractive.
I know how she feels, dude.
She said actresses like Scarlett Johansson and Natalie Portman are sucking up all the good gigs because she's considered too hot for certain roles.
As a child, girls hated me because I was beautiful.
Right?
I wanted to scar my face
because
I was so beautiful. I wanted to be ugly.
Oh, poor girl.
That's what Jessica should do. Just get a broken beer bottle and just rub it all over her face.
That'd
be the best thing she could do.
It's really hard to feel sorry for people because they're hot.
Kevin, she's losing work because she's too damned beautiful. Don't you get it?
Oh.
Her acting, but I think her acting ability is going to waste because she's not getting the roles of ugly, disease-ravaged fat girls.
What are ugly, diseased fat girls supposed to do if she gets those roles, too?
Good point.
Good point, Lisa.
Good point.
Jeez.
Kevin Federline is incapable of being anything but a douchebag.
Really?
Yes.
What a surprise.
The New York Post reports that he was at a Kentucky Derby party. Kid Rock's Kentucky Derby party.
What?
Actually, over the weekend. And he got cheesed off and was very vocal that the VIP table he was sat at wasn't big enough for him. He says, come on, I've got 6 bitches with me.
Oh. Yes!
And he was
like, hey, world, check me out.
There wasn't room for all his bitches.
Okay.
Then he proceeded to grab the mic from Kid Rock, who was talking at the outset of the party, and he said that to the audience he had 4 kids already and inquired if any lucky lady in the crowd would like to have his 5th.
Yes. Yes.
God.
Yes.
Dude, he needs to be neutered.
Seriously.
He's like James Bond, that guy.
According to Us Weekly magazine, Federline also said how much he enjoys being a father. He says the best part of his day is going to work during the day, then coming home to his kids at night. My question is, what is he doing during the day where he's got a job?
What is that?
Where is he going to do this so-called work?
That's a good point.
That he claims to have.
Yeah.
Speaking of celebrities and their babies, In Touch magazine released their list of the top 10 best-looking families in Hollywood.
Families? So if there's one ugly person, brings his whole family score down?
Oh, yeah, bell curve gets screwed. Here's the top 10 best-looking families in Hollywood. Julianne Moore's family, they claim, is just top to bottom hot.
Are they out of stories?
Her husband, her kids, everyone's very attractive in Julianne Moore's family. I believe.
Are they complaining about being so attractive?
She's adorable.
She is.
Ben Affleck, Jennifer Garner, and their daughter, Violet.
She's very cute, that little
beautiful
girl.
Family.
Yep.
Sure. Beautiful. Brad Pitt, Angelina Jolie, and their brood was 8 on the list.
Mm-hmm.
8. You got Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie in the family. You're only the 8th hottest family in Hollywood.
Oh, their kids are adopted,
except
for one.
The other kids have to be made out of platinum or something? What do you have to do to...
That's true.
Madonna's family is number 7. They claim that family is very, very attractive.
Everyone except for Madonna.
The Arquettes, Courtney, David, and Coco, number 6 on the list of hottest families in Hollywood.
Hmm.
Wait.
I'm sorry. David Arquette... is
Courtney, his wife, and Coco,
yeah,
their child.
They don't balance out David.
But they're hotter than Brad and Angelina?
Angelina Jolie, that's
according to In Touch magazine.
Well, this is bogus.
Though. Maybe the magazine should be called Out of Touch magazine.
Yeah.
The Cruises, Tom, Katie, and Suri are number 5 on the list. Kelly Ripa, Mark Consuelos, and their 3 kids are number 4 on the list. She's getting hotter as she gets older, I think, than Kelly Ripa.
Absolutely.
I saw photos of her the other day. She looks dynamite.
I don't really know much.
107
about her.
Kids.
So hot.
Will and Jada Pinkett Smith and their family, 3rd on the list.
Yeah.
Gwyneth Paltrow, Chris Martin, Apple and Moses, 2nd on the list.
What? Wow.
Chris Martin? Is it true?
Gwyneth Paltrow?
Well, at least
Come on.
I can see her reasonably, but Chris looks like a homeless guy. Most of the time. Number 1 on the list. Can you think the best looking family in Hollywood?
The Dunst.
The who's?
Kirsten Dunst family.
No.
The best-looking family in Hollywood. Well, you already named the ones that I would have guessed. I would have thought.
I would say Homer and Marge Simpson.
I'll give you a hint. It's in the music.
Oh.
The Spectres.
The music realm.
The Osbournes.
Not the Osbournes.
I don't know.
Gwen and Gavin Ross.
Oh, sure. Oh, yeah.
And that baby Kingston.
Sure.
Best-looking family in Hollywood, according to In Touch magazine. So, congratulations.
Do they get some kind of an award? Do they get a trophy?
They get one of their kids bronzed.
Excellent.
They dip them like baby shoes. Very attractive. Speaking of Brad Pitt, assistant producer Alex is all on Twitter this morning because I told her this story in the office.
Yes.
Very excited. Brad Pitt apparently getting back into the arena of action movies. According to Lipstick.com, entertainment news website, they say he is finalizing a deal to star as He-Man, Master of the Universe.
What?
In a live-action version of that popular kids cartoon.
I don't know much about He-Man. Why did you shout what?
He-Man was huge.
Oh, was he?
He was a giant buff dude. Dolph Lundgren played him in the original live-action version of this. Yeah, Master of the Universe.
Hmm.
He-Man. And Alex always wanted to bang He-Man as a young whore. When she was a baby whore, she always had a thing for He-Man.
And He-Man's just... I mean, when you think of Brad Pitt, at least at this point in his career, he's doing a lot more of artistically valid stuff.
He's doing acting.
Yeah. He-Man's pretty cheesy. I just can't see that being true.
By the power of Grayskull!
I don't know what he's talking about.
Prince Adam would turn into He-Man with the sword. He raised his sword over his head and he screamed, "By the power of Grayskull."
If Mark Anthony is not cast as Skeletor, then this world should come to an end.
He should absolutely be Skeletor. You're right.
And maybe Ralph and Mike and Roland can go see that and tell us how it is.
Listen, Bubble Boy, man who never lives outside the island, He-Man, Master of the Cartoon, huge, huge popular television show.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hugely popular. A lot of love for that show.
Right,
Psycho
right.
Mike, am I lying?
No, big time.
Big time.
With Roland and his friends.
Oh, stop it. And speaking of comic book movies and Roland, he's going to be very happy. You know, The Incredible Hulk, they're making a new version of The Incredible Hulk movie.
Oh.
Sure.
This time they're going to try to do it right. They've got Edward Norton starring as Dr. Bruce Banner, the guy who turns into the giant green monster.
Okay.
And playing Betty Ross, his love interest, Liv Tyler.
Oh, that'd be good.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that.
She's a little hottie. She's a hottie bumbalotti, as they say.
Do they say that?
Sometimes.
Never heard it.
Yeah. Today's celebrity birthdays, Mike Wallace from 60 Minutes is 89 years old.
It's amazing.
Still asking people questions.
He seemed like he's one of those guys that seems like he's just been old my whole life.
Well,
like
he has.
Been 89 since I was born.
Yes, he has.
Not aging at all.
And although if he came to me now and sat down and asked me some probing question, yeah. I'd say, it's none of your business, old man.
That's what I'd say to him. You wouldn't. You'd pee yourself.
No, I'd say it right to his face.
You never, ever want to see Mike Wallace at your door with a camera crew.
No.
I don't care what he's there for.
No good
can
come
from that.
It
can't be good.
Allie Mills, who played the mom on Wonder Years, she's 56 years old today. Dave Gahan from Depeche Mode is 45 years old today. Rosario Dawson turns 28.
Oh, squish.
And Ghostface Killah from Wu-Tang Clan turns 37 years old today. Wonder how Ghostface celebrates. Think he kills somebody?
Probably.
He is a killer.
Yeah. Not a killer, but a killer.
A killer.
Yeah.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
That, of course, was the latest from Modest Mouse called Dashboard. They are playing the Greek next week, I guess, if the Greek is still standing. If the Greek's still there next week, Modest Mouse is going to be there.
Time for the AfroLine 323-520 AFRO. Speaking of the fire.
I hope Chuck Henry is nowhere near Griffith Park right now. Stupid truck.
Yeah, they sent him out. Yes, they did.
Unbelievably, that's the guy they went to go get close to the fire to do reporting.
Chuck, you've done some reporting on the fire before, haven't you?
Yeah, I burned the van.
Go on out. Get in there. Get right in there.
I'm just wondering, who's Lisa May banging and where can I get in line?
Just behind Doc. Thank you for your
That's
call.
That's a long line if Doc's in it.
Hell of an impressionist.
Hello, Kevin and Bean. This is Academy Award-winning actor Morgan Freeman. You might remember me from such films as Nurse Betty, Along Came a Spider, and Lucky Number 11. I have been spiriting away some cachets of a certain lubricant. I would like it returned to me immediately. As you can see, I've been doing a little more than driving Miss Daisy. Thank you. And may God have mercy on your soul.
That's not bad.
Good to hear from you, Morgan.
We have fans everywhere.
Psycho Mike, you suck so bad. Bring back Big Tad.
Wow.
Yeah, that's got to hurt
right there. That God just almighty. Hurts.
How much can you hate a guy?
Seriously.
Wow. How much can you hate us?
Wow.
Okay, you broke up Rage. You screwed with the Dodgers. And now it's going to be 102 degrees in Woodland Hills. Thanks a lot, Kevin.
Kevin.
That's a good point.
Hate you.
I should have made different decisions along the way.
Yes.
Okay.
So why do you have to make it so hot?
What's that? Yeah.
Why do you have to make it so hot? I mean, that's, I think, what the question is.
I loves me the heat. I have no problem with it. Just don't be cold.
So if Ralph's not going to do it, I'm going to do it for him. Oh, I got a listener email. Blah, 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 blah. Rock me, Andy Davis. Andy Davis, Andy Davis.
Andy
Davis,
Andy
Davis,
Andy
Davis.
All right.
Doing his own show.
Doing a show in his own home. Good.
Hello, Earthling. I am an alien from another planet. At the present moment, I have changed into this mobile phone. While you are looking at my face, I am rubbing my testicles and making love to your face. Don't say you're not enjoying it, as I can see you smiling. Ah! Feel my passion. Feel my passion. Ah!
Don't know?
What's going on?
Weed? I think probably that.
I was out in Hollywood this last weekend to Roosevelt, and I saw Lindsay in the restroom. I know who her friend is. They were doing blow off each other. It was Doc. Doc on the Rock. Boy, that guy can put him down, let me tell you.
Yeah, I don't think they would let Doc into any club that Lindsay Lohan would go to.
That's probably true.
I'm sorry. They got bouncers that keep people like Doc out.
I just seen the funniest on TV. David Hasselhoff puking all over the floor where he was eating. Oh. What a pussy. That guy is such a stupid dumbass. What kind of a role model is he? What the kid's going to think of him? Oh, I'm not going to drink anymore. Nobody likes a quitter, you pussy.
Tell me you're going to stop.
I'm going to stop.
Comment?
No.
Yes?
All right. 715 323-520 AFRO is the number if you want to leave a message 24 hours a day. When we get back, we're going to give you the best idea ever. And that is, let's all not buy gas on the 15th.
How cool
would that be?
Yeah, but I don't think that works. I think it's the point. Let me tell you about my new hero. His name is John Schoen. He is my new personal Lord and Savior because he is the guy who has risen from the ashes to explain to people why their goddamn gas boycott emails won't work.
This is funny. Everybody gets driven crazy by whatever. Everybody has their thing that drives them out of their mind. Bean, every time he receives this email, starts a rampage. I mean, he goes...
I hate all of the forwarded junk mail. You know that. I hate that. I don't ever need to see, here's why you shouldn't be drunk around your friends, and then the photos of all the bad things. I don't ever need to see any of those that people said. Look, we all have the internet. If you've seen it, we've seen it. Don't send it. But this one in particular, because every time gas gets to $3, a variation of this email starts going around, and people don't even think about it before they hit forward. They don't even think how stupid it is before they send it.
Bean, why do you hate? If all users did not go to the pump on the 15th, it would take almost $2.3 billion out of the oil company's profits.
It would bring them to their knees. I understand, yeah. But this is why Mr. Schoen from MSNBC, and the article can be found on MSNBC.com, this is why he is my hero, is because he takes this email point by point and explains how ludicrous it is. And that's why we're very excited to welcome Mr. Schoen to the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock. Hey, John, good morning.
Hey, guys, how are you doing?
Very good.
Well, we're doing great. I think you heard from the introduction that this has been a hot topic on our show for the past couple weeks. Am I right? Every time gas gets to about this point, there's some variation of this email flying around the internet, right?
Yeah, and we get a lot of the mail that you get. In fact, we get every time we write a story about gas prices, we get the usuals come out of the woodwork. And I cover business and financial stories for MSNBC.com. And so what we decided to do is take a look at this and go through a lot of the data is available out there in the Department of Energy websites and, of course, the financial data from the companies. And we thought, well, all right, let's go calculate exactly what the impact will be. We looked at all the numbers, and the number that we came up with was zero. Zero impact. Absolutely nothing.
Now, by zero, what do you mean?
Well, that would be zitch. Nothing.
We're going to take some calls in a second, John. 1-800-520-1067. But
the reason is real simple. We can keep the interview real short, okay, too. As some of these emails very helpfully point out, they even suggest that people fill up the day before, fill up the day after,
right,
just drive by the pump, maybe honk your horn on Wednesday.
Right.
Well, all that's going to do, if the gas company or the retailer or whoever we're talking about trying to stick it to adds up their profits at the end of the week, same profit. All you do is shift sales from one day to the next, and it will really have no impact.
But the email says that you're going to take money out of the rich oil company's pockets.
Well, at the end of the week, the oil companies will have the same money that they had if you hadn't done this boycott. One of the other things we looked at is said, all right, let's just see where this money goes. When we're all paying $3 plus at the pump, we're assuming that all of that goes into the profit of some company that we know and hate.
Right.
It turns out that the people who get the most of the ire, who are the retailers, the people whose station you drive up to, get the least amount of money. In fact, many of these people just get pennies of that gallon. Most of the stations that you get your gasoline from are not owned by oil companies. They're owned by convenience stores. These folks make their money on the soda and chips and everything else inside, and they, in some cases, will lose a little money just to get more people to come in.
Right.
Wow.
Now, I can understand where the spirit, is coming from, because people feel ripped off and they feel like we ought to have some power as consumers. And it's logical that they would think if we band together to do something, we can make an impact. But unfortunately, shifting the day around is not going to do it. And even, as you point out in your article, the other one that's popular, shifting the station around, just boycott one particular station, that is not effective. Now, why is that, John?
Well, there's a lot of storage in the gasoline delivery system, just like there is in your tank. And, in fact, there's all the way back to the crude oil that comes in from the tanker. So if you back up the supply by one day, that just means that day the truck doesn't roll from the wholesaler to the gasoline station, or in the case of the refiner, even if they were to stop making gasoline for a day, which would not be a smart thing for them to do, they still have plenty of oil left in the tank sitting next to the refinery. So a one-day interruption really won't even be felt as a ripple.
How about a permanent or, several-month interruption to one station, just as an example of something that other people have suggested? Let's say ExxonMobil, nobody goes there from this point till the end of summer. What impact would that have on ExxonMobil?
Very little, because, again, the issue there is that ExxonMobil even though its brand name is on a lot of these stations, really has no participation. They don't own the station. They sell the gas under their brand. The wholesalers and the refiner part of the business certainly get plenty of money, but the retailer, the one that you're, quote, sticking it to, is really an independent business person. So, you know, if you don't like that mom or pop at the end of the street and you want to stick it to them, that's fine, but you're not going to do anything to the folks in Houston.
You know what's funny about that particular thing is I have right near my house an Exxon on one corner and a Mobil on the other corner, and it's always 10 to 12 cents difference per gallon.
Well, that's the thing that's, you know, it's probably why we get all this mail, and it's probably why gasoline prices above anything else arouses this kind of passion among people. But, you know, what other consumer product do you have where they post their price every day in 2-foot-high letters every time you drive by? I mean, price of milk, for example. What is the cost of a gallon of milk? Do you guys know?
No idea.
It depends where you buy it, but isn't it around $2.50 a gallon?
I have no idea.
Well, you don't ask a question if you don't know the answer, John.
But the point is that gasoline is one of these things that we all have to obsess about because the price gets shoved in our face every day.
And by the way, not only that, but we also see those reports of the profits, and it seems like ExxonMobil has $750 billion profit last quarter, and that tends to make everyone angry.
All right, let's take a look at that one. We also said, all right, suppose there was this impact and you somehow stopped the money flowing as well as the oil. Whose pockets are you going to dry up? Well, it turns out, as we said, the retailer gets very little. About 19 cents on average of your gallon of gasoline goes to the price of the gallon goes to federal and state taxes.
Right.
So then we're going to have to raise taxes somewhere else or cut services or whatever. The next chunk is the one that gets everybody really up in arms because this is where you see a lot of the profits, and that's the refiners. Right now, refiners are making bundles of money because the demand for gasoline is very good.
Right.
There's not a lot of refining capacity extra, so they're churning out as much as they can. Turns out they make about between 30 and 40 cents a gallon of that pump price.
Right.
That goes to pay for, you know, the wages of the people who make the gasoline, all the trucks that they have to buy to roll it to your station, whatever. So the profit turns out to be about 12 cents for every dollar.
Okay.
Well, is that a lot?
If you're selling a tremendous, I mean, I don't know how many gallons they sell a day, but if it's a tremendous, you know, if it's a billion gallons,
but he's saying percentage-wise, it's probably average.
Percentage-wise, it turns out it is about average. Coca-Cola makes a profit margin of, say, 20%. Bank of America, north of 20%. So if you're worried about people making excessive profits, there are a lot of companies out there that are doing better than oil refiners. As you point out, though, the problem is that there's only a handful of these companies. So if there were three banks in the United States, you would see huge profits among those banks. It turns out there's hundreds.
Right.
It's spread around. We don't see it because each individual company takes a little piece of the pie. The oil industry is very, very, very consolidated.
Sounds to me, John, like you're in the back pocket of big oil. That's what it sounds like.
You know, I get a lot of those. And if that's true, I haven't been getting my checks. So could somebody like check that out?
John Schoen is the senior producer at MSNBC.com. He did an article about why the one-day gas boycott will not work. Stop sending it around.
God bless him for that.
We're going to take some calls. We have time to do that? Robert, John, would you mind sticking around?
Sure.
Okay, 1-800-520-1067. If you have calls about this whole thing, something doesn't sound right, you have a better idea.
Yeah, there you go, because there may be somebody out there who has something we haven't thought of. I doubt it. But John does have something that he closes his article with that we'll save for when we come back on a way to really make a difference in the price of gasoline. Bet you can't figure out what it is. And we'll continue this conversation right after this on the World Famous K-Rock.
John Schoen is our guest. He is a senior producer at MSNBC.com, and he is suggesting that if we boycott gasoline stations on the 15th, it will bring the oil companies to their knees.
No, I think his article actually says the opposite, Kevin. I think that's why Mr. Schoen is our guest
right now. It doesn't work.
He is my hero. We're going to take your calls in a minute for John at 1-800-520-1067. I have to ask, sir, who is this Greg M. from Lake Charles, Louisiana, that is credited as the author of this error-filled email that we get in our box 25 times a day? Do we know?
Well, no. In fact, this is a column I write every week called The Answer Desk, and Greg was just the fellow who wrote in and said, what the heck is this, and what's it all about?
Gotcha.
Like a lot of things on the Internet, it's pretty hard to trace back where this came from.
Yeah.
What I love, though, is just, I mean, you point out this email. I mean, not that the rest of us would have this information at our fingertips. You did the research. But, you know, it makes a reference to gasoline dropping 30 cents a gallon the last time something like this was tried a few years ago. And you went back and checked, and that's just patently false. It did not happen, right?
It did not happen. In April 1997, when this gas out allegedly took place, we looked at the Department of Energy website. They're all public figures. You can look them up yourself. Gasoline started the week. It was about $1.24 8/10. I guess it went down about 0.8% by the end of that week. But if there was a one-night drop of 30 cents, it didn't show up in the statistics.
Right.
You know, a lot of these folks say that the Department of Energy is in on all this, and they're part of the conspiracy, and that's why you can't find the number. But, you know, if you believe the numbers, that's the truth.
All right, one more question before we go to the listeners' calls, and that is, how about the one that was going around, and I've seen it again a couple of times this go round, the one that's a retired Coca-Cola executive that was told by a vice president, Halliburton, same BS, right?
As far as I can see, I didn't see that version of it, but yeah, there have not been successful attempts at this in the past.
What about the vice president of a Nigerian bank? What about that guy?
You're supposed to send him some money, and he'll give you $1 million.
That's a whole different conversation. All right.
All right. Let's take some calls on K-Rock. Let's start with Jolene. She's in Camarillo. Thank you for holding on. You're on with John Schoen from MSNBC talking about gas and what to do about the price. What do you got for us, Jolene?
Well, first of all, good morning, Kevin and Bean.
Hi there. Good morning.
And the reason that I'm calling is because, you know, I do believe that a boycott truly would work if a boycott was brought to its fullest extent. Not just one day, because, yeah, of course, I saw that it didn't make any bit of difference back in 1997. I mean, if we did boycott truly for a longer period of time, let's say a month to 2 months, I mean, people, I'm sure, have gas cans at their house. I mean, I'm sure that there will be definitely some kind of indentation in their profits.
Who are we boycotting? One station? Everyone?
I would just say boycott everybody completely.
Well, so don't drive.
How do you not?
You're saying don't drive?
Don't drive for a couple months?
Well, what I'm saying is that I'm sure that you'd be able to, you know, I know that I have spare gas cans at my house, you know, just in case for major emergencies, if we were to have an earthquake or anything, you know,
right.
At least we'd be able to get some gas, you know, for at least that period of time. But I'm sure, you know, I'm sure just after a few weeks, we're just going to start seeing the profits.
But then in the end, you're buying the same amount of gas.
All right, let's have John Schoen. What do you think?
Well, I mean, that's a way of stockpiling gasoline. It's not that safe to do in your home, but the other issue there is that there's about 21 days supply for everybody in the whole system. Again, there are a lot of these storage tanks that you see next to refineries. There are wholesalers that have big storage tanks. So you can move more through the system and then stop using it for a period of time, but it's still going to move through the system. And as long as that continues at the same rate, you're going to still see the same kind of profits. The real issue is consumption, is how much are we actually using every day, not how much are we buying on one day or another. And if we could figure out how to use less, if you had and I know not everybody can do this, but if you had a telecommute day, for example, everybody kept the car in the driveway, that might have an impact on consumption, and that might actually have an impact.
Hey, John, I think I know the answer to this, and I think it's because they can, but doesn't it seem like they raise the prices at the pump of gasoline that has already been bought more cheaply? It's already in the ground under the station, but they raise the gas price that day because there's some event in the world that makes people scared. Don't they do that all the time?
That's absolutely true. And the other part that people have a hard time with is that the price that you pay at the pump is based on the market price that day. It's a lot of demand and supply. It's what is the guy across the street posting for his. And one analogy I'll use, so people say, well, wait a minute, it didn't cost them that much. The oil that they bought cost less, so they should charge less. Well, I'll ask you this question. If you built a house in California for $100,000 15 years ago, and you're now selling it for $1 million, are you price gouging the seller?
Yeah, I would sell it for what I built it for. Yes. No, I wouldn't. I'm sorry.
Same deal. I see what you're saying. Sure. Hey, let's take Cesar's question in Long Beach. He's on line 4. This is another one that I'm sure a lot of people have asked, and I'm sure they've asked you, John, from MSNBC.com. Cesar, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi. Hey, good morning, Kevin and Bean.
Hi there.
My question is, before the election, gas was like $2.30. It's like 4 months. I mean, it's like 6 months later now. It's gone up like a buck, and I'm paying like $15 more when I fill up my car now, and that really sucks.
What's your question?
So, I mean, my question is, what happened in those 6 months? I mean, the world
the problems are pretty much that we had 6 months ago are still here. So what happened?
What happened was the weather got warmer. Every year between the bottom price in the winter and the peak price in the summer, for the last 22 years, the variation has been about 57% on average. And one of the reasons, of course, is that in the summertime, people drive a lot more, so there's more demand for gasoline. But if you go back and look at the chart, you'll see every year it goes up in the spring as it is now. It peaks sometime in mid-August, sometimes between July 4th and Labor Day, unless you have a hurricane. And then it goes back down in the winter. And, of course, we all don't obsess about gas prices falling. You don't see big headlines saying gas prices down 10 cents in November. So it seems as though they're going up all the time. But between November and early April, you can pretty much count on gas prices going up.
But you can understand the frustration out there because, I mean, it is basically gasoline is one entity to us. I mean, where you can go get it for a little less, a little bit more, but it's all pretty much whatever they want to charge, they can charge. And I can understand the frustration level that people feel.
Well, they can charge based on our demand. And again, you know, people don't want to consider that as an alternative, but it's one that has proven effective in the past. In the 1970s, when we had real shortages, it forced people to make some big changes, not just in gasoline, but in oil consumption. Everybody weatherized their houses up here in the Northeast. And
people started buying smaller cars.
Smaller cars, right. and they put in
Let's
new windows.
That's crazy.
Yeah,
oil
I know.
Consumption, for the first time, oil consumption year over year actually went down. And right after that, oil prices started coming down with them. So it's not easy in your city to figure out how to get around without a car. So the only alternative is to figure out how to get more out of every gallon. And that may mean doing those tiny little things like, you know, filling up your tires with air and all the rest. It
sure.
might mean trading it in for a higher mileage car.
So I should park one of my Hummers? Is that what you're saying?
Or like your governor, maybe you could convert it into a hybrid.
Yeah, sure.
We are about one hurricane away from a shortage every year, though. I mean, aren't the refineries that we use at about 99% capacity or something like that, John, with what they're producing?
They're running in the 90s, and there is... It's true that we have not built a new refinery in 30 years, and that's part of the problem. But what that statement overlooks is that all of these refiners every year are trying to squeeze more and more out of what they do. And in fact, they've added at least another new refinery every year for the last dozen years or so, and there's billions of dollars that they're trying to spend to upgrade. The problem that creates is that oil refineries are, it's not like making cars where you put steel in one end and the car comes out the other. They're very, very complex. More like a space shuttle. So if you're going to expand capacity, you got to turn the thing off for maybe weeks or months. And that's a lot of what we saw this spring was for maintenance, and some of it was for expansion. When they're down, they're not making no gasoline, and that gets supplies tighter.
All right, let's go to Deborah in Long Beach. Hi, Deborah.
Hi. I drive a cab, so I'm spending about $1,000 plus a month on gas, so I'm probably feeling this a lot more than some people. And because the meters are regulated, I can't pass my costs along. But I think this is just a prime example of how lazy everybody is, and they want the easy way out. And like you're saying, we've got to stop using it or reduce what we're using if we want the price to go down, because then supply will be more than what demand is.
So cut down on our use of gasoline is what you're saying, Deborah?
Well, yeah, because it's a supply and demand kind of thing.
Well,
so
you're talking
more
crazy
gas
now.
Than we're using, the price goes down because there's less competition for the same product.
Somebody's been hitting the pipe.
If if everyone just slowed down a little, that would cut consumption quite a bit.
I notice
I drive makes a big difference on
Let's not get crazy
how much
on
I get on a tank.
That's so boring.
Well, asking listen, me to do stuff.
Unfortunately, we are out of time, and there are many more things that could be said about this. But a great place to start, particularly if you get the forward about the one-day gas boycott,
is to Bean at KRock.com.
No, I've seen it. I've seen it. I've gone to what I've done is I've just got the link on my desktop ready to send to anybody who sends me that why the one-day gas boycott won't work, and it's written by our guest, John Schoen, senior producer of MSNBC.com. John, you've answered some great questions for us. We really appreciate your time coming on with us on K-Rock this morning.
Hey, have a good day, guys.
Thank you. Bye now. Time for the Showbiz Beat with Ralph Garman.
Does anybody just date anymore, or do they go right to engagement?
If you're a celebrity, right to engagement.
From engagement to divorce.
The rules are different.
the pattern of most relationships in Hollywood. Well, it appears that Nicole Richie is again engaged. Of course, she was legendarily engaged to DJ AM for that short, brief period of time.
Oh.
Now it's apparently Joe Madden.
Huh?
Joel Madden from Good Charlotte.
Wait. He was dating... Who was he dating? Wasn't one of the Maddens dating somebody else famous?
Hillary Duff.
Yeah, it was Hillary Duff. And now it's Nicole Richie?
Yep.
Huh. Okay.
Nicole Richie and Joel Madden apparently engaged.
Huh.
I don't know how he's going to do Monday Night Football. You know, without... He's going to be busy doing
that. John.
So,
that's John.
It's John Madden.
He's going to be busy. He's going to have a
not the same
schedule. You better get married before the season starts because he's going to be very, very busy.
Isn't the same.
Calling those games.
Hope Nicole likes living on the bus.
That's right. Eating turducken. E! Online says that Oprah Winfrey has an amazing estate on the island of Maui, which she often visits. However, locals say that they've never seen her boyfriend Stedman there with her at the time. She's at the tropical getaway.
I knew it!
Locals in the neighborhood say she only takes time to spend time with her girlfriends who hang out there in Hawaii. She's never seen there with a man or with Stedman. Oprah's gay.
I'm sorry?
Nothing. Just the...
Don't you understand?
From the fire.
She's a lesbian.
Smoke from the fire in my throat.
Allegedly.
Oh, really? You have smoke from the fire in your throat? Oh, Rich Bush. Hugh Laurie, the only star from House that has been re-signed to the program, according to Star Magazine. He obviously is the most important one. However, rumors are swirling that supporting characters, the supporting cast, may be replaced.
That seems odd to me.
A lot of those actors still in negotiations with producers, and apparently they are going to pick and choose who they will bring back and may recast some of the positions in the supporting roles.
I like all the supporting players on that show.
I think it's one of the best casts on television. But cost is cost, you know? You have to make those, profits.
So they're not making money?
I heard if you don't watch House for 1 week, the show will go out of business.
Cripple them.
You stick
really?
In the box.
That's right.
Wow.
They will have no more... House on. Last night's was so good, by the way.
Really? You thought it was a good episode?
Oh,
I don't think they're all good episodes.
Yeah. By the way, they are all good.
By the way, House's bad episodes are better than most shows. That's true.
Better than all shows.
Well, not all. But
all shows. Worst House, better than the best everything else. That's just the truth.
South Park.
George Michael says he's ashamed for what he's done. You got that Boy George song ready?
Bad to the bone.
We're talking about George Michael, the guy from Wham, is
George
what we're talking
Michael.
About.
Oh, sorry.
He was in judge. He's in front of a judge yesterday, pleading guilty to driving while unfit due to drugs. However, George says he was just tired and on prescription drugs at the time.
Right.
But he did admit, I did something very stupid by getting behind the wheel.
Just give it away.
Is him, George Strait?
That's what? George Strait.
George Strait.
No, that's country superstar George Strait. Not who we're talking about.
Yeah, not at all.
Damn it.
Who we're talking about. Another country superstar, Billy Ray Cyrus, was booted off Dancing with the Stars last night.
Oh, what a shame.
Came down to him and Joey Fat One, but America is more tired of Achy Breaky Heart than they are the NSYNC dude.
That's a tough call right there.
Sure is. Who do you get rid of there?
Can you kick two people off?
I wish you could. And of course, tonight is the night we find out who will be the three remaining contestants on American Idol. Last night was Bee Gees night on the show.
Bean, why don't you tell everybody what they missed last night if they didn't see that show?
Well, they should be thanking their lucky stars. It was a terrible hour of television. Really, just 57 and a half minutes of it was just unwatchable.
And Bean likes the Bee Gees.
I didn't think it was one of the better episodes, but how is it so unwatchable as compared to the rest of the American Idol shows, which are very similar to that?
Well, I think part of it was the pace. Part of it was they were doing eight songs and whatever other nonsense.
Did it go too fast for you there, sitting on the front porch of the general store by the pickle barrel? You couldn't take the pace of the high-speed television
stuff, but I mean, it was hilarious how rushed they were. I mean, they didn't have time to say anything. It was almost, you know, they were just screaming to get stuff going faster. But just the performances were horrible. It was just a terrible night. Yeah. Nobody was comfortable with that material.
It was an off night, but it was hardly
unwatchable.
Who can
blame them? They're 22 years old, and they're asked to do disco songs from the 70s that they probably don't know or like. It was probably a tough night for them.
It's always unwatchable.
Back well, you, for Rob. You, it is, yeah.
Yes.
But for the rest of us?
George Clinton?
That's not who we were talking about at all.
That's not
past
Michael.
That story now.
Oh, well, you're going to burn through all these. We're going to do it next hour. You've already used them all up now.
Well, you didn't do it last hour, so I know you're not going to do it at 8:50, so I'm just burning right through.
Oh, do you?
Oh.
I don't know.
Oh, do you? So now you know exactly how I work all the showbiz stories. And look, it's all I have to do. Once an hour, I just trot my little pony show out here, and I talk about celebrity gossip. It's all really I have. I doubt you know the time and effort that goes into selecting the wide variety of stories that I choose.
I've seen you get here 30 seconds before your report.
Absolutely.
Wow, you're a dancing monkey, and Kevin's still coming down on you. What's
better,
up with that?
Better than you deserve. Today's celebrity birthdays, Albert Finney, one of my favorite actors, a talented British actor, was recently seen in a movie that he was in.
Really?
Yeah. He was good in that.
Yeah. 71 years old today. Dave Gahan.
What's his biggest movie? What do you say Albert Finney is best known for?
Well, his heyday was in the 60s and 70s. That's when he was a star. Now he's just a character actor.
Like
he was
Big Fish, for instance, was not too long ago. He was phenomenal.
He was in Ocean's 12. He played Catherine Zeta-Jones' dad in that film.
Yeah.
Was he the guy with Aaron Crooked Mouth?
Aaron Brockovich. He was in that. He played Julia Roberts' boss in Aaron Brockovich.
Albert Finney always struck me as a handsome doc.
A handsome doc. Well, there you go.
I could kind of see that.
I don't think that category exists. Back to you, Ralph.
If you've ever seen the musical version of Scrooge, A Christmas Carol, they play it every year at Christmas. It's always on television. He plays Ebenezer Scrooge, and that's one of my favorite versions of that story. So he's been around for many, many years. Very talented guy. Ghostface Killah from Wu-Tang Clan is 37 years old today. Did I mention Dave Gahan?
Yes, you did.
Well, sort of. Depeche Mode, he's 45 years old today. And Rosario Dawson celebrates her 28th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I hate politics, and it seems like it's starting way earlier than ever before
for
the president.
Well, that's not your imagination.
Okay, and they have to raise, they're saying, over $100 million per candidate if they're serious about, you know, getting all the way there.
Isn't that so frustrating? Don't you think that there are probably people out there who would be way better presidents than the people will eventually end up choosing from, but just can't even conceive of how to get into the race because they just can't make it financially?
I guess, yeah. And you would think that these people have to make big promises to a lot of people who are donating a lot of money, you know, that kind of thing.
And you have to be really good at asking people for money.
Yes.
Yeah, that's how you spend most of your time.
That has to be your strength.
Yeah.
So now they're starting to do it a different way. John McCain is selling a mouse pad. If you'd like that, you can buy it for $75. Dennis Kucinich is selling ladies' T-shirts adorned with red, white, and blue flags. Merchandising is the new way of raising money for a presidential hopeful.
Well, I guess, yeah, whatever you can sell, you can make some profit on. That's what you got to do if you need that much money. So we thought we wanted to find out more about this. So we asked Lightning to line up somebody, and it is Nikolai Gudinov, who is the president of the Gudinov Novelties Company. And I don't know whether, well, I guess we'll find out. They make stuff for the various candidates that are running for president this year or what. Nikolai, welcome to the Kevin Bean Show on K-Rock.
Hey, my babies. How are you doing today, my babies? Great to talk to you. How are you, my babies?
We're good.
Ah, glad to hear it.
So did we set that up correctly? Basically, the candidates have moved into moving merchandise with their names on it. That's how they're raising money for these impossibly expensive campaigns lately.
That's right, babies. People want things back for their investment. You know, they went, give me money for my campaign, you know. What do I get back? Oh, you get a little something for your trouble. You know, it's like when PBS has the fundraisers, you know, for the stations, they give you a $400 CD of something, you know.
Right.
It's like I'm raising money, and I make all the things for all the candidates, baby. That's my job.
Oh, you do? Okay,
I do all the work for all the candidates, my baby. So I'm not political one way or the other with the politicians, with the Democrats or the Republicans. It doesn't matter to me. I just make money, baby. That's all I care about. You know, my babies.
Would you mind not calling us my babies?
You got it, my babies.
Okay, good.
So, as an example, for instance, Senator Clinton from New York, who is the presumed front runner right now for the Democratic candidate, she has a kid pack. Now, what do you have? What's in the kid pack that she's selling for $18, Nikolai?
It's crap. Some crap for kids for $18. You get a cartoon coloring book and some erasers and crap. It's just crap, you know. But here at Gudinov Novelties, you know, we make all kinds of things for all the different candidates.
Okay.
And we always say, at Gudinov Novelties, it's good enough for you. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Not great, but it's good enough for you.
Good enough. Okay.
So Hillary Clinton, you mentioned we're also making an action figure for her to buy. You can have a little Hillary Clinton like a Barbie action figure.
Really?
Yeah, it comes with 27 different pantsuits.
Yeah, that's about right.
That's for $220.99, my baby.
Wow, that seems like a lot.
Does that woman ever wear a dress? What's up with that, Nikolai?
Well, we have the Hillary Clinton strap-on. Maybe that's what she's
hiding.
Oh! Yeah, it's a little sex toy you get for $134.99, and you strap it on, and then you got something to stick in your pantsuit. You know, something you have to grab. When you're grabbing your crotch at Congress, you can grab your strap-on.
Okay, so for the people that are in Congress and need to grab something that don't have anything?
Well, you know, fills out your pantsuit, so it looks like a nice bulge in your pantsuit, you know?
I got you, okay.
All right.
Also, for Hillary, we offer, you know, her husband, Bill Clinton. I don't know if you ever heard this guy or not, but he's a popular guy, and he loves pistachios, so she's got his nuts in a jar. Bill's nuts in a jar for your day, $85.99, my baby. It's on her website. You can go get it right now, my baby.
Okay.
That's a hot item. I like that.
Joe Biden is also a Democratic runner for the presidential thing.
The presidential thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's, you can get a watch, the Joe Biden watch.
Mm-hmm.
When you're biding your time, we say you can get the Joe Biden watch, $118.99.
Is that what moving?
Not so much, no.
Okay.
Barack Obama, also a popular candidate, Barack Obama.
Mm-hmm.
You've got the pet Barack.
The pet Barack?
Pet Barack, okay.
$96. It's a rock.
Right.
It sits on your desk.
Uh-huh.
You don't have to feed it or anything.
It's just a rock.
It's just a rock.
Right.
Hey, it worked 30 years ago. They were flying off the shelves. We figured maybe we'll give it a shot again, you know?
Makes sense.
If you don't want to spend that much money, though, we also got the Obama Lip Balmer. Makes your lips full. Full, big lips.
Really?
Gives you big lips.
Wow.
Full and delicious.
Excellent.
It's only $82.99 for that. For the Republicans also, not, you know, as well-known candidates, but we got things for them too they're also selling.
Okay.
Rudy Giuliani's forehead polish.
Forehead polish.
Yes.
Excellent.
Makes your head nice and shiny like Rudy's.
I like it.
Tyra Banks orders this stuff by the case. I'll tell you. It's always moving. Mike Huckabee. You're familiar with Mike Huckabee?
Yes, former governor of Arkansas.
That's right. We're making lollipops for him. The Huckabee Suckabee. The lollipops are actually made out of bumblebees. We've been harvesting them for like 4 years now. We get as many bumblebees as we can, and we make lollipops out of them.
That's where
we're
they're
working
going.
Out good.
How about that?
That explains it. Okay, got it.
Bill Richardson, governor of New Mexico.
Sure.
Yeah.
On
yes.
his side, you can buy the New Mexican swim jeans.
Okay, he's not Mexican, you know. He's from the United States. New Mexico is his state.
Oh, crap. We got to stop the swim jeans order. I am confused. Also, we got John McCain.
Yeah,
yes. He said you can get a pocket screwdriver. No one knows more about having a screw loose than John McCain.
Okay,
oh, that's
helps
the slogan.
Screw
okay.
Screw your screws.
Excellent, okay.
And then we got Mitt Romney. You familiar mm-hmm. with Mitt Romney?
Yes.
Yes, very popular Mormon candidate this year.
Yes, we got a line of mitts. From Mitt Romney, we got the catcher's mitt,
yeah.
We got the oven mitt,
yeah.
And the shingles mitt. When you got shingles, you can put it on your hand, and then, you know, people talk about you.
I think our newsman Doc has one of those.
Hey, we sold one!
So, May 19th is the day that the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater completely sold out. We're talking about K-Rock Sweeney Rose DeFiesta 2007 with Linkin Park, Killers, Korn, Bad Religion, Interpol, Queens of the Stone Age, and so much more. Tickets go on tickets have gone on sale, and it is sold out, but you can win them all this week on The Kevin and Bean Show. And on K-Rock, including right now.
With the Wheel of Celebrities.
It's the Wheel of Celebrities. The Wheel of Celebrities. It's the Wheel of Celebrities. Wheel of Celebrities.
All right, so what we're going to do is we're going to have celebrities read lyrics. All you have to do is identify what the song title is, please.
The band artist as well,
band.
Right?
Too? Yes, the artist and the song title. I apologize. All right, so here's the wheel. We got William Shatner, Homer Simpson, Governor Schwarzenegger, Tom DeLonge, George W. Bush, Caesar Milan, the dog whisperer, Bjork, Rodney, Anthony Kiedis, and Bam Margera.
Wow, it's quite a collection of celebrities standing by. How about that?
So whatever it lands on, that's how we do it. We bring them in, they read some lyrics, they go back out. All right, let's begin with Albert and Downey. Good morning, Albert.
Yeah, what's up, man?
Yeah, how you doing?
Pretty good, how you doing?
Very good. All right.
Spin the wheel, see what lands on.
Homer Simpson, ladies and gentlemen. Homer Simpson. Albert, tell us what song, title, and band this is.
Let me take you to the hurting ground, where all good men are trampled down. Just a sad bet there could not be one between a prideful father and his son.
Ooh, good read there, Homer. What do you think there, Albert, title and artist?
That was pretty tough right there, actually.
Only if you don't know it.
That's always true.
All right, might as well give it a guess if I'm going to lose either way. I'll say Bad Religion.
Yes.
Yes.
Which song by them?
You're on the track.
So close, yet so far.
You're halfway there.
Pick a song. There. Let's go, baby.
A song title by Bad Religion would be...
Song title by Bad Religion would be...
That's what we said, actually.
Hey, we've got to move on here, dude.
All right, here we go.
Thanks for calling.
Pick one dog.
Could not have given him one more dog. They do. We were looking for so Sorrow. Yeah. Sorrow was the song that you were doing, homie. Sorry about that. I was hoping you'd get a winner.
I'm sorry. Is he homie?
Call me homie.
That's what Marge
calls
you. Marge,
you call me that.
Sorry.
We're not sleeping together.
Adam in West Hills. Good morning.
Morning, guys. How's it going?
Very good. Thank you. Wheel of Celebrities, ladies and gentlemen, Governor Schwarzenegger.
Governor Schwarzenegger. Finally, I get to read something that's, you know, not with the politics.
Hey, Governor, before you read the lyrics, are you going to pardon Paris? Have you decided yet? I know there's a petition to get you to look into her case.
I have to see what she's willing to do in order to get the pardon, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, I understand.
Maybe,
okay.
You know, one hand washes the penis.
I don't think that's the other slogan.
One hand washes
that's
the other.
That's right. Not how that expression goes. All right. Listen up, Adam. The governor is going to read lyrics, give us title and artist of this song that will be played at K-Rock Sweetie Roast.
Each day I feel so hollow. Inside I was beating me. You will never see me. So come dance with me. Dance with me. Rum biddy boo.
All right, Adam.
I know it's Korn.
Yes.
Yes.
Song title?
Don't be like Albert. I'll come through this phone and strangle you.
Yeah, song titles is difficult. The band's is the easy part.
Okay, so it's Korn. And
so
now
you would name the song that this is from.
Now we would need the song title.
Can you read it one more time?
No!
No.
I have to go back to governing.
Give us an answer, Adam.
All right, I'll go with Freak on a Leash.
Sorry, it's Got the Life.
No, Got the Life.
Thank you for calling. All right, Daniel in Ontario, good morning.
Hey.
Hey. I'm guessing no on this guy, but let's give it a shot.
Sometimes you can just tell.
Bam Margera is here to read some lyrics for us. Ladies and gentlemen, Dan.
What's up? Good morning. It's good to be here. One thing, I don't know why. Doesn't even matter how hard you try. Keep that in mind. I designed this rhyme to remind myself I tried so hard.
All right. Thank you, Bam. Say hi to the Jackass crew for us. Daniel, what do you think out there in Ontario? Title and artist.
It is Linkin Park.
That's correct.
Yes. Third person in a row, Bam.
We should have called this Name the Band.
No sin. Song title. All right, what's the song title for the Linkin Park song?
Is it...
Gotta give us a song title.
Gotta actually say it out loud so we all hear what you're thinking.
We're gonna need a title now. Song title.
It is...
Title of a song.
Whoa!
By the way, he said it while the buzz was going.
That counts.
We're going to give it to him then, because he was just trying our patience enough. But congratulations, you're in the drawing, Daniel. You don't have the tickets yet, but you may. Let's see who else qualifies on the Wheel of Celebrity Voices.
The ball had left his hand before the buzzer went.
That's true. Yep.
And then nothing
that's
but
that worked.
All right, let's go to Diana in Buena Park. Good morning, Diana.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Wheel of Celebrities, you got to identify the band and the song title, please. And the celebrity is William Shatner.
Nicotine, Valium, Vicodin, marijuana, ecstasy, and alcohol, cocaine, nicotine, Valium, Vicodin, marijuana, ecstasy, and alcohol, cocaine.
Bill, can I get those to priceline.com? Okay, we got it.
Valium.
Thank you.
Vicodin.
All right. Thank
marijuana,
you, Captain.
Ecstasy, Diana. Alcohol, cocaine.
Title and artist, what do you think the captain's doing for us there?
Oh, my God.
Very popular song.
Nope.
Not a hard one.
Not hard at all.
But I guess if they're not your thing, I guess, but...
It's pretty much the most recognizable lyrics in terms of, it's got to be that song. What do you think? You got a guess for us, or should we move on?
Nope. Sorry, guys.
All right.
Mr. Shatner, what were you doing there for us?
Feel Good, Hit of the Summer by Queens. On the Stone Age.
Sure, yeah. That's a band we're really looking forward to seeing on the 19th. All right, let's try Frank in Hawthorne. Good morning, Frank. Ready for the Wheel of Celebrity Voices?
Yeah, why not?
All right, this is the last chance we have right here. So okay. If he gets it, there's a drawing. If not, Daniel wins the tickets. Here we go.
Okay.
Yeah, no pressure.
No pressure.
Good luck. Rodney Bingenheimer. Rodney Bingenheimer is here to read you lyrics.
Hey, Rodney.
Hope you go to Coachella.
Nope, that was
coming up. Coachella.
That's past, actually.
All right, here are the lyrics.
Over.
I've been waiting for this moment all my life.
Lazy Eye Silverstone pickups.
Yes, nicely done. Look at that.
Hey, I've been waiting for these tickets, man.
Well, you don't
finish.
Have them yet, but
you're
close.
Rushed me off the air. I have more to do.
Rodney, he already got it.
Read the rest. It's Godhead.
I already got it.
He already got it.
Godhead, though.
But he already got it.
Silver Sun pickup.
Hey, yo, check this out. And the winner is...
Daniel, I thought you might have that by now, Lisa.
Daniel from Ontario.
Daniel, the guy who just barely got in under the wire.
I had to mix him up good.
Nicely done, Daniel.
Thank you.
And thank you for playing the Wheel of Celebrities.
It's the Wheel of Celebrities. Wheel of Celebrities.
So how much of Channel 4's coverage of the fire were you watching last night? Kevin, you must have been excited when you realized they were on the scene.
First of all, Channel 4 loves fire. All TV loves fire.
Absolutely.
And I really do think there is some, you know, life and death, like, aspect to it. But I think it just looks cool.
I know when the few times I've actually, like, driven up the 405 where the hill was on fire, it's absolutely mesmerizing.
It is. Yeah, I could see it on my way in this morning, this big fire. Mm-hmm. And I knew that Channel 4 would send somebody to the fire. I was praying, dear God, please let it be Chuck Henry. Because Chuck Henry, really, he's the best. He's the guy, for those of you who don't remember from Channel 4, who actually went out to cover a fire, and the fire department told all of the press to move their vehicles. This was an unsafe area.
Mm-hmm.
And if I recall correctly, everyone did, except for Chuck Henry.
Yeah, therefore, the Channel 7 van did not burn up. The Channel 2 van didn't burn up. The Channel 9 van is still operating today. Channel 4 van, not so much. Pretty much just cinders because Chuck insisted on driving it right into the fire to get the story.
But at least he was interviewed as a hero.
I feel so badly for the people that lost their possessions. You know, the truck, who cares? Stupid truck with a bunch of equipment in it.
Stupid truck.
Did the fire department have to save his ass?
Yes,
yeah,
they did.
Yeah.
As if the
BS.
Truck drove itself into the fire, by the way. Stupid truck.
A bunch of equipment in it. I bet he went back and the management said, that's a really expensive van that just burned to the ground. Not so stupid.
It was. Wasn't it like $500,000 or something, Lisa? Had all the TV equipment in it. What about Doug Kriegel, by the way? Why don't they send him with Chuck into the fire to interview people?
Kriegel can't breathe normal air.
On a nice day at the beach.
He's gasping for oxygen in a normal situation. If there's a fire, he's going down. So who do you think Channel 4 sent to the fires?
Chuck Henry is live right now where some of those homes have been evacuated, and he has more for us. Chuck.
That's right, Colleen. We're at the entrance to what is a park maintenance area, and this is where firefighters really made their last stand on the ground.
And now here's what I like. They did send him to the fires, but not to where there was an active fire at that moment. This is where it was. Yeah, there was still fire burning during the 11 o'clock news last night.
Yeah, but that's not where he was.
Chuck was nowhere near.
Check the homes. We're going to roll a bit of videotape, and here are some of the homeowners who were evacuated just a short time ago.
Bought the house in 1970. Never once have we had to evacuate.
Yeah.
Surreal.
How does he do it? How does he get those kind of interviews?
Was his follow-up question?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Bought the house in 1970, never had to move out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Surreal. And then the world's shortest interview.
Scary.
Scary, yeah. Very.
I am.
Nice.
And within just.
So, by the way, not only was that the shortest interview ever, but the guy started to talk again, and then Chuck cut him off and then did it live. So that's.
Thank God they sent somebody to the scene where there was danger 9 hours ago because we were able to get those hard hitting interviews. It's as if I were there.
Chuck Henry is the best. He's no Paul Moyer, don't get me wrong.
Oh, no.
Well, now, but he's don't get me started on Paul, because I actually, it's funny you should bring that up. I actually have a short piece of tape on our friend Paul Moyer from a couple of nights ago. Now, this was pre-fire. This would have been, what's today? Wednesday? This would have been Monday night. And they were talking about the horrible tornado that hit Kansas over the weekend.
Right.
You guys saw, I mean, this little town, Greensburg in Kansas, 95% of the town is gone. It's not just like one guy lost his house and the guy next door is still standing. I mean, 95% of everything above ground in that town is gone, okay? And Paul Moyer is on with Skunky. Colleen is on this piece of tape, too. And I think you'll enjoy what he had to say.
All right, Leanne. And we've just discovered as well, Governor Schwarzenegger is going to send additional help to Greensburg, Kansas, in the form of rescue and recovery people there.
Some personnel to help. And when you a category five.
Here's what I love about Paul, by the way, and he does this every single time. If he's taking the ball from somebody else, he always has to recap because their synopsis, Governor Schwarzenegger is sending in some assistance from California. That's not enough. Paul has to put a fine point on it to say, because they're going there to help him, because that's what I have.
Category five, over 200 miles an hour, and a town that small.
Nothing good can come of that, and they were lucky it wasn't even worse than it really was. For us...
Wait a second. Hold on a second. It's Category 5 storm, town as small as that. Nothing good can come from that, first of all.
So Paul's point is that there are not going to be new buildings there after this goes through. There's not actually building houses. It's going to actually tear a few down. That's his point.
He's saying nothing good can come from that. And then he says, now bear in mind, we're talking about a town that 95% of it is gone.
Not
and
enough
Paul
for
Moyer
him.
Says, they are lucky that it wasn't worse. They are.
Niagara's going to send additional help
to
Paul Greensburg, Kansas, in the form of rescue and recovery people there.
Some personnel to help. And when you a Category 5, over 200 miles an hour, and a town that small, nothing good can come of that. And they were lucky it wasn't even worse than it really was. For us, here's Fritz with a forecast. Fritz?
So 95%, it could have been 5% worse.
What is he thinking that they're lucky? This is a town that lost everything. Well, there's not a school. There's not a church. There's nothing in this town. Well, they're lucky it wasn't worse. How could it have been worse?
I assume
the only thing left standing is the grain elevator.
He's referring to the number of people who died. But I don't understand why a small town, why it makes a difference that it was a small town versus a big town.
You know, a lot of things make a difference to Paul Moyer. And
I think
nothing worse for a small town. It's like, what?
Could have been worse. Saying because the storm was so big, the storm was so wide that if the small town is in its path, maybe he's suggesting that the whole thing is going to be obliterated rather than just one neighborhood. Maybe that's his point.
But
nothing good from come from that. I'll tell you that.
90. You know what? It could have been. It could have been 96%. I'll tell you that right now. Would have been a lot worse.
Well, if those people could only watch the Channel 4 news from Los Angeles, they'd probably feel an awful lot better about the home that they don't have to live in.
Paul Moyer, this one's for you.
Paul Moyer! Paul Moyer! Paul Moyer! Is a douchebag! Big douchebag! Paul Moyer, douchebag!
And now, it's time for a moment with Kevin.
Now, which sex is your oldest?
We have a boy, Joshua, that's 16.
Now, he's not going to want to spend much time with all those other boys in their room come pretty here a couple of years.
That was a moment with Kevin.
Yeah.
It's just like a giant word jumble.
Kids are young and then pretty here a couple of years later.
That happens.
They're all grown up.
That happens.
Yep. By the way, that couple that we talked to on the occasion of, I think their, I want to say that was their 14th or 15th kid. They've had a couple more kids since that interview.
Oh,
yes. They continue to breed, those two. They think every kid's a blessing from the Lord. So what are they going to do? No. They're not going to stop that from happening.
You know what's a blessing from the Lord? Condoms.
It's 8:58 KRQ FM, Pasadena, Los Angeles, the world famous K-Rock. We got a lot of questions for Doto's lab roommate. K-Rock listener Doto, who we've been fascinated with for years, actually has a roommate, a lab mate in college. And we're going to be talking to him coming up after the news. First, Ralph's got the show to speak. Good morning, Ralph.
Every time I think of lab partner now, I think of Spider-Man 3. Because Bryce Howard, the beautiful and talented Bryce Howard, is Peter Parker's lab partner in college.
Sweet.
Yeah.
He gets to work with her in science class.
And he chooses Kirsten Dunst.
Fugly Kirsten Dunst at home waiting for him.
Yeah.
Like, that's a choice. Like, that's a no-brainer right there.
She's hot and she's cool in the movie. Like,
exactly.
She's really got a great personality. She bothers her that he's got a girlfriend at home.
And you're Spider-Man.
Yeah.
So you just wrap the other one up in web, stick her someplace, and then you go out with a hot one. Whole thing would be different if I ran Spider-Man.
You can't trade up when you're Spider-Man.
Why not?
What good is it?
Oh, I thought you said,
saying,
yeah,
if you can.
Exactly. You're a superhero, for God's sake. Speaking of Spider-Man, all kinds of people weighing in on the film, not just Kevin and myself, who didn't care for it all that much. By the way, I forgot to mention how much I agree with you, how disturbingly distracting it is that every extra in Spider-Man 3 is a supermodel.
Every single woman, except for Kirsten Dunst, in the crowd scenes, all hot. I've never seen anything
like
it.
They have Spider-Man Day in New York where he gets an award and they show the crowd waiting for him. And there's a girl with smoking a girl with such big cans standing by the police barricade waiting for him that you can't even hear what's going on in the movie anymore at that point.
They're trying to make up for the Kirsten Dunst problem.
Every girl he passes in the street.
Everyone.
Every girl that's in danger getting crushed by falling debris when the disasters happen. Just a supermodel.
Boobs.
Amazing. It's just spliced together all those moments for me in that movie.
Yes.
I would have been happy. But speaking of Spider-Man 3, Steven Spielberg, but George Lucas was in New York recently. And a reporter asked him what he thought of Spider-Man 3. And he said, it's silly. It's a silly movie.
It's silly?
There isn't much there. Once you take it apart, there's not much story, is there?
Oh, that's funny.
The reporter said, well, it's not Star Wars. And he said, well, people thought Star Wars was silly, too. But it wasn't. Boom, booyah!
Three words, well, Jar Jar and Binks.
Yeah, yep. I don't know.
Episode one was pretty silly, I'm sorry.
About the future of Star Wars, Lucas said he is readying Clone Wars, an animated TV series that's derived from Star Wars. Many of the Star Wars characters will reportedly appear in Clone Wars, but will be voiced by other actors. So don't expect Mark Hamill and Harrison Ford to be voicing anything anytime soon.
Well, they're both dead.
Yeah, no, they're not. They're both very much alive.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Lucas also says he's going to make two more live-action Star Wars films.
What? I thought he was done again.
He's not done.
Two more?
They won't be about the members of the Skywalker family, however. Lucas says they will be about other people from that milieu.
Why two and not three? I mean, he wrote nine of them. Why would he only do two?
I don't know. He says the two extra films will be made for television.
What?
They will not be feature films. They're going to be TV films, probably somewhere on cable, like HBO or Showtime, something like that.
Seems like a waste of money. Seems like you're giving away free cash by not putting them in the theater.
Hmm.
Well,
maybe the ideas aren't that great.
Yeah, maybe. He says they're going to be about an hour long each, so apparently he doesn't have that much material.
Is he trying to start a series and they just won't give him a series commitment?
That is. I bet you that's the future. Eventually, he'll do a couple of these a year or something like that. But
interesting.
For Star Wars fans, there's more to look forward to. He also mentioned Indiana Jones 4 that is currently in production with Harrison Ford, Cate Blanchett, and Shia LaBeouf. He's playing Harrison Ford's son. He's playing Indy Jr. Now we know for sure.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry. What does Shia LaBeouf stand? What does that mean?
In French, it means shiner of beef.
Okay.
Yeah. Man who shines beef. It's an odd name, but what do I know? Paris Hilton's headed for jail on June the 5th. We should start the Paris countdown calendar, I think.
I like it.
Great idea.
Before she goes inside. So naturally, they're asking other celebrities who have spent some time indoors what she should do and how she should prepare for her.
Just anyone that's not outside?
Days. Well, you know, but inside. You know,
oh, inside.
I've been inside. You know, in The Sopranos. Yeah, I was inside for 20 years.
Oh,
you know.
I got you.
That's hot.
Heidi Fleiss says she'll be fine, but the sun in the rec yard is hard on your skin, so she should bring some sunscreen.
Really?
During that exercise period, yeah. Forget about getting shanked.
That's her advice?
Worry
sunscreen.
Don't worry about getting raped in the shower prison. It's really, it's the sun cancer that'll get you.
That's hot.
Skin cancer, rather.
They do a lot of raping in women's prisons, Ralph.
God, I hope so.
I think that's it. Isn't that just pretty much kind of the dream?
In my mental image, there's a lot of lesbian sex going on, yeah.
We should call people who've been in jail and ask them.
If any of you ladies have been in Sybil Brand, give us a call. Let us know how much lesbian sex
Good
is
idea.
Going on in there. I'm just kidding about the rape thing. That's never funny. Oh, Paris.
Jail.
Oh, Paris, yeah. Shannon Doherty has also done some time. She said her time in jail was a nightmare because she suffers from both anxiety and claustrophobia.
Oh, man.
I can't think of a more claustrophobic or anxious-ridden place than prison, quite frankly, to be. And she said at times it was so bad she thought she would die. Christian Slater also had nothing good to say about prison.
Really? He didn't say it was a transforming moment in my life?
Nope. Oh. He said it was humiliating and barbaric.
Really?
He had wished the time inside did him some good, but it just didn't. So, apparently not a thumbs up. No reviews giving a thumbs up to prison time for Paris.
That's a shocker.
Psycho Mike, how did you stay out of jail? It seems like you must have served some time.
I've been to jail. I mean, I never went to, like, prison, but I spent a considerable amount of time in Newark prison, in Newark jail.
Like, what's the longest period of time? Like a week?
What was your stretch?
Like 6 days.
You did a six-day stretch?
Yes.
But isn't Newark jail like the worst federal penitentiary?
It's pretty bad.
Yeah.
I mean, there were not a lot of handsome people like me. There were not
is
a lot
that
of
what God. You were hoping for when you went inside?
Yeah, of course it is.
More handsome guys.
I saw this one movie that I rented behind the Velvet Rope at a video store, and there were nothing but muscular, tan men with their shirts off in jail.
Huh.
And then
so
I
that's
got
what you're
there,
hoping for.
And
like
it
that,
was
huh?
it was mostly Hispanic and black men that were overweight taking poopy next to my head.
Okay. You must have been so disappointed.
All right, then.
Behind the Velvet Rope? Really? Kevin Federline, who I wish would do some time in jail, but apparently hasn't yet. He was at the Kentucky Derby party over the weekend. Kid Rock throws a big bash there every year. I don't know if you know. He invites a lot of A-listers.
It's got to be. Kentucky Derby's got to be like the Super Bowl. People who don't even care about the sport go just because it's where celebs go to drink.
Absolutely. It's a big scene now. And when Kevin got there, he was ticked off that the VIP table that was reserved for him wasn't big enough. His complaint, according to the New York Post, there wasn't room for the six bitches I had with me.
Jeez.
Don't you hate it when there's not enough room for your bitches?
Oh, it's a big problem.
Oh.
Big problem.
You know,
you're a douchebag. I don't do well with douchebags.
You got to call ahead and reserve your bitch room.
Yeah, that's true.
Apparently, he also took the mic from Kid Rock to announce that he had four kids already and inquired of the crowd which of the lucky Kentucky ladies wanted to have his fifth.
Yes!
That's a touching sentiment.
Sure is. He's a giver. And George Michael says he's ashamed for what he's done. You may remember he fell asleep behind the wheel of his car in an intersection in London. He was arrested and charged with driving while unfit due to drugs. The police said that George was under the influence of something. He said, I was under the influence of prescription drugs at the time, and I was tired. It was very stupid for me to get behind the wheel, so he pled guilty.
That's, yippee-yo.
George Clinton.
Oh.
Different George.
Sorry.
He has another court date on May 30th so the judge can mull over his sentencing. So we'll see how much time he does inside.
That's hot.
You think Psycho Mike was happy to get inside prison? Wait till George Michael gets in there.
Good point.
The other cellmates and prisoners will be cowering in the corners with their backs against the wall trying to stay away from George Michael.
Yes.
That sad girl's in the room suddenly. Happy celebrity birthday to Albert Finney, very talented British actor for many, many years. He's 71 years old today.
He's like awesome and hot, and he looks like Justin Timberlake, which is super cool.
I don't think that's Albert Finney.
No, not at all.
Mike Wallace, however, fits that description. Nope. He is, of course, from 60 Minutes all these years, 89 years old today. Allie Mills, who played the mom on The Wonder Years, is 56 years old today. Ghostface Killah. Wu-Tang Clan's 37. Dave Gahan from Depeche Mode is 45 years old today. That's why Omar's in the other room. He's got a shrine in there. He's lighting candles, blowing incense. At least I think it's incense. It smells funny. I don't know what's going on there. And Rosario Dawson turns 28 years old today. Is your penis a slide whistle?
God.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I miss Toto.
You know, I don't.
Oh, I love.
I gotta be honest.
I love crazy. Crazy is good for me.
It's 9:15 on the Kevin and Bean Show on the world famous K-Rock. If you don't know who Doto is, this is who Doto is.
Hey, Kevin and Bean is Dow Doe. Doto, Kevin and Bean. I just don't know what the hell to tell you guys, man. I just got back from a damn buffet, and I went to Todai Buffet. You know how much they charge me? About $25, Kevin Bean. Okay. But I make plenty of money, so I can afford any food. But at least I'm pretty good at. I'm trying to watch my weight, Kevin Bean. I'm about 220. I'm almost freaking about 220. I really need to get down to 190.
Okay.
So at least I just got back from this buffet, man.
Mention that.
So Kevin Bean, I really want to make it in the entertainment industry. So I guess I know what I'm doing. I know what the heck I hate to do. So yeah, my stomach, man, is just really killing me.
Fat.
I talk to you guys later. Bye.
Oh, and he needs a woman. All right. So we got an email from Tim. Good morning, Tim. Oh, your email was the best email we've ever read.
Yeah.
Doto is my lab partner in class at school.
How about that? Tim, what school do you guys go to?
I go to Golden West College in Huntington Beach.
Okay, and what course are you and Doto teamed up in?
We're taking business writing.
Business writing, and you have a lab partner?
Well, I said lab partner because if I would have put just partner in the email, I didn't want to sound like it was a gay kind of thing. You know what I mean?
That's a good point. All right, I got you.
But is it?
It is absolutely not.
Now, how do you know for sure it's Doto?
Oh, because I absolutely know for sure 100%. First of all, he starts asking all kinds of benign questions. Second of all, he goes, do you watch Kevin and Bean? You know, I'm like, yeah, actually.
Do you watch Kevin?
Or do you listen to Kevin and Bean?
Yeah.
And I go, yeah, I listen to Kevin and Bean. And, you know, and then he goes, well, do you know Doto? And I'm just like, yeah, I know Doto. He goes, that's me. I'm like, oh, my God, that's you.
Okay, now here's the weird thing. We thought he told us he graduated from college.
He did graduate from college. He got his bachelor's degree. Now he's coming back to college to try to get a degree as a rehabilitation counselor.
But why is he going to a JC?
That is actually a great question. I have no idea. But I do know it's the guy. Actually, you told him about his crazy eye. He spells his name D-I-E-U.
Yep, that's him.
That's him. That's our boy,
now,
yeah.
Here's what I love about your email. You wrote, I think, pretty much word for word a question that he asked you. And this identifies Doto for me. You said, if you were a psychologist and I was your patient and I took an IQ test, would you give me a lower score just because you thought I was annoying and talked too much?
That's exactly
that is so Doto.
Yeah, I look at the guy and it's like, no, you know, I wouldn't do that, you know. Like, and he asked me all kinds of crazy questions. Like, that was just the tip of the iceberg. I mean, the whole time, I'm just like, I feel like I'm mentoring a child, you know. He just asked me all kinds of questions. He's like, is it okay to make fun of people? I'm like, no, you shouldn't make fun of people. And he goes, Kevin and Bean make fun of me all the time.
Oh!
He said that. I swear to God.
It's a dagger to the heart.
Hey, Tim, no. Having spent time with Doe,
I was like, they're making fun with you. You know, it's all fun.
Yes. Good. Yes, Lisa?
Do you actually believe that he really did graduate from college?
I don't know. It's really hard to believe because we got in this project together, and he starts typing with his two fingers, like, you know, like, dot, dot. Like, oh, my God, he can't spell, like, I don't want to make fun of him, but he can't spell too bad, you know what I mean?
Now, we have received many emails from him, and his typing and writing skills are at about first grade level, and that's what cracks me up about you being in a creative writing class with him.
Yes, it's amazing. We did a project together, and we tried to work with him, and it was so hard. Like, we actually did a project. It was the three of us in a group, and we had to choose a career path for one person. And we chose his career path because he wanted to be a rehabilitation counselor.
Right.
And we ended up doing all the work. He did absolutely nothing.
What a surprise.
Do you think he'll pass?
What's that?
Do you think he's going to pass this class?
Actually, I think he will because he does try his best, and, you know, he does turn in all his assignments, and he asks the teachers a lot of questions. The teacher actually just looks at him like, you know, he just goes up to him, and he's just like, he asks him all these benign questions as well, like, oh, do I need to put my name on paper? And like, yeah, you know, it's like all kinds of
I would give anything to be in a college class with Doto. That would be awesome. Every time he raised his hand, I would go, teacher, question over here.
Hey, Tim, does he ever express any interest to you about what he tells us, which is that he wants to make it in the entertainment industry, Kevin Bean? Does that come up?
I'm sorry, what's that?
Does he ever say, hey, I want to be in the entertainment business? I want to be an actor or a stand-up comedian or anything like that?
You know, that doesn't cross the mind. Actually, it did a little bit. Because he's asking me, he's like, how can I make it big in life, Tim? And I was like, well, a good way to make it big, you know, would be, you know, just try hard to do your best. And I was like, you know what? Well, you're already making people laugh on the Kevin and Bean show. So I was like, well, you know, well, why don't you just, you know, you try to go to that field? He's like, well, do you think I'm funny? I'm like, well, yeah, you know, I think you're funny, you know, because, you know, you say a lot of funny things and everybody laughs with you. You know what I mean? And he's like, well, everyone's just making fun of me. They're not laughing with me. They're laughing at me.
Tim, I'm glad that you were standing up for us.
Yeah, I
appreciate that.
I absolutely was. You know,
all
right. I was trying to give him encouragement and motivation, you know, and so that's what I told him. You know, I was like, you should go that route. And he's like, you think I got to own my own comedian show? And stuff like that. I'm like,
absolutely. He could own his own comedian show.
I was like, yeah.
I don't know what that means, but he is
awfully needy. You're right about that. And when you talk about how you feel like you've got a kid, I mean, he gets so hyped up sometimes when he's in. We have to give him a time out. I mean, we have to actually settle him down.
Yes.
Does he do the hyena laugh in class?
I'm sorry?
The hyena laugh? Does he do that still?
No, I haven't heard it.
You would know it if you heard it.
Let me ask you another thing, Tim, and this is another reason why we were dying to get to somebody in the inner circle of Doe, and that is, how is it he is able to take so much time away from school and travel the world? I mean, this dude is the international man of mystery. He'll call us from Hong Kong, and then he'll call us from Japan, and then he'll call us from Hawaii. It seems like he's never even in America.
We were supposed to do a project over the weekend together. We're supposed to all get together and work on the project, right?
Right.
Well, all of a sudden, he had to go, like, Vietnam and teach some kids. And I was like, wait, what do you mean you got to go to Vietnam and teach some kids? We got to do this through project. And he's like, oh, it's a family emergency. And we're like, oh, my God. Like you said, he's always gone.
I love that. Here's what I love. Doto teaching kids. There's just nothing more perfect than that.
Toto shaping young minds.
Wow, that's great news.
Well, we haven't spoken with Toe in a while. Where is he now? Do you know?
Actually, I don't know, but I do got his number and his email address. He told me he was going to call you guys, because I told him that you guys were talking about him. As soon as I said, oh, Kevin and me were talking about you, they want to get a hold of you, you know, they said they have, you know, trouble getting a hold of you. And he goes, what'd they say? Did they say anything bad? You know, I was like, no, they didn't say anything bad, you know. And he's like, sure, they didn't say anything bad? Do you want to get fun of me? I'm like, no.
We do not make fun of Doto. We put him on the air and allow everyone to laugh along.
To see the magic.
He's so defensive. I try to, you know, totally mentor him. So.
Well, Tim,
doing good work.
You're so lucky, man. You're so, so lucky. Imagine how boring that class would be if you didn't have Doto in it.
I feel so blessed.
Yes.
I feel so blessed.
You are. All right. If you see him again before he talks to us, make sure he gives us a call.
I will.
All right. Thank you, Tim.
Thank you.
Doe, anything else?
Kevin Bean, this one thing I forgot to tell you, Kevin Bean. I need a woman.
Get rid of this looter.
Turn four.
15 years ago, by the way, last month, those riots. 15 years already have passed since that the event that song was written about.
I miss those riots.
They were good times.
Remember when the police were standing on camera and they were saying, our force is just, we're out here to make sure that people understand that there's law and order, and there was a guy walking behind him with a couch on his back. That was the best moment ever.
Hey, I got me a TV that weekend. I'll never forget that. Kevin Abeans, What a Do Nephew on the air every day at this time, 1-800-520-1067. You get on the air, you get a prize. Today it's a $100 gift certificate to Kevin Jewelers, just in time for Mother's Day. Also, American Dad Volume 2, which is a terrific series on Fox. It's on DVD. Next Tuesday, May 15th.
All right, let's begin with Erica in Norwalk. Good morning, Erica. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi. I just want to let you guys know, Paris Hilton's going to be right next door to me at my job. She's going to be right next door, and the media's already starting to interview police people.
So the the jail that she's going to, you're right next to.
Yeah.
And the media's already there for a June 5th?
Yeah, they're already parked out there, and I'm like, imagine if it gets closer, it's going to be blocking my driveway because it's right next door.
And you're going to have Chuck Henry out there going, it's a jail very much like this one. And I'm going to go, Chuck, it is that one.
Friggin', it's going to be insane, and just for this little skinny bimbo who's a little hoochie mama.
How dare you? Girls all over the country look up to her in the world. Thank you for the call. I'm just kidding.
Maybe you can jump out and, like, Jack Ruby her ass. Just like, pop, pop, pop. She goes down right in front of the TV. So that'd be awesome.
I don't think we're suggesting that.
We're advocating murder at all.
Oh, you have to kill her. Just wound her.
No. By the way, we didn't have time to do this topic yesterday, but it came up. Lisa and I have a theory that there are a lot of young girls that look up to Paris Hilton. And a listener sent us a link to a CNN story where they had psychologists on saying the exact same thing, saying that they've verified that.
The scary part is that a lot of people that did email this story were talking about girls a lot older than what we had first thought. They were talking about girls in their late teens and 20s.
Sometimes 30s and 40s.
Those girls are effed up.
And it wasn't
Paris Hilton. They'd be effed up about something else.
Me
I don't think Paris
too.
Is causing any damage in right-thinking young ladies.
But it's funny because there are very few women out there, very few girls out there who go, I want to be like Condoleezza Rice. I mean, they look at this, you know, this brilliant, talented woman who's, you know, gone higher than any woman in the history of our country in the government. And nobody really out there wants to be like her. But lots of people want to be like Paris Hilton. That's what's weird about this country we live in.
I think it might be her boss that everyone doesn't like as much.
And it's the gap. Giant gap in her teeth.
Well, there is the gap. That's true.
Adam in Brea. Good morning.
Hey
to you. Good start, Adam.
Hey, I was just calling about The Shield. If you guys saw The Shield last night.
I haven't watched it, but I've been watching it this season.
I taped it. That show is so damn good.
Yeah, it was great last night. Like, just everything that's just culminating from the past, you know, several seasons, it's all coming to a head.
Right.
And also, I was also curious about if you guys heard if they're going to go one more season or not, because I've heard rumors that this is going to be the last season, and it's going to be a shorter season than most.
I thought they were going one more.
I hadn't heard one way or the other.
That was my understanding.
I hope they do.
I don't think I had either. That's such a great show.
It really is.
Let's go to Brian in Sierra Madre, because this is fascinating to me. Brian?
What it do, nephew, baby boo?
Hey, Brian.
What it do, nephew?
I'd like to say you guys sent me to the Offspring concert a couple of years ago, and I just wanted to say thanks a lot for that. You guys rock.
Fantastic. Thanks for the timely note back. All right. And?
The reason I'm calling is I'm calling about the Barry Bonds issue.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think Barry Bonds got a really bad rap here, and I think the media is to blame.
How so?
Well, yeah, I was stationed up in the Northern California area, and I used to go to a few Giants games. I'm not much of a Giants fan, but I enjoy baseball. So mm-hmm. I'd go out there, and we'd always sit in the bleachers, me and some of my friends, and every time we'd wave to Barry, he'd wave back. He was always kind, big smile on his face. He didn't always hustle for every ball.
Really?
But let's admit it, though. The guy's got one of the sweetest swings in baseball.
Did the media stuff steroids down his throat?
Yes,
I was unaware.
Yes, they did.
Did the media make him cheat on his wife and his taxes?
You know, that's what Curt Schilling said. Now, listen, I'm going to tell you right now, 95% of ball players cheat on their wives and cheat on taxes. Come on.
But then do they call their mistress and make very threatening remarks to them and leave it on their voicemail saying that they're going to kill her if she goes forward to the media?
Well, haven't you before?
Threatened my mistress? No,
never heard that way. Yeah. Brian, I think even among baseball fans, I think that there is a sense that he is not playing for the Giants to win. He's playing to get the home runs in the record books. He doesn't really even, it seems like he doesn't even really try, doesn't really even care if his team wins.
Yeah, you know what? There's probably some truth to that because, let's face it, they pay the guy how many millions of dollars to stay on that team?
Okay, but
he really can't afford to go out and get good pitching and good relief pitching. And
so he's getting a bad rap. Why then? I don't understand.
Because he waved to Brian.
Because you know, when he first started out this whole thing, you know, Barry Bonds, could he ever catch Aaron? Is this ever going to happen? I'm going back a few years.
Of course.
You know, the media would always be in front of his house. Whatever he told the media, they'd put a different spin on it. And he finally just said, you know what? I'm tired of talking to you people. Leave me alone. So then the media finally said, you know what? This guy's got an attitude with us. We'll show him. And everything they always put in the paper or in TV, it's always condescending towards Barry Bonds. And if I was him, I'd be doing the same thing. I'd say, you know what? I ain't talking to you people or any of you people because of the fact I know whatever I tell you, you're going to put a different spin on it. So I just want you to leave my life and get out of it, and I'm going to go on with my life.
Well, how about when he demands preferential treatment from his other teammates, even how he behaves when he's on the same team as these guys? That's not the media.
I don't know what happens in the dugout, you know, or their locker room. I'm sure you guys don't either. All we do is we hear stories from the different players, like Jeff Kent, who's also a big egotistical kind of a person. You know, you get two egos like that on the same ball club. Oh, my thong's bigger than yours.
Can I go back to something that I'm confused about? You went to San Francisco Giant games and waved to Barry Bonds?
Absolutely, man. You know, you're out.
Barry! Look at this. He waved! Get on the phone. Oh, you'll never believe it. Barry just waved.
Dude, you should have thrown him some pills. He would love you.
Thanks for the call.
Brian, I'm glad you called. It's an interesting topic, and I know there are a lot of different opinions on Mr. Bonds, and maybe we'll squeeze that in tomorrow. Maybe we'll have some more time to talk about that tomorrow, because I don't know if you've been paying attention, Kevin.
I haven't.
Only 10 home runs away now from Henry Aaron's record. Only 10 left. So it's going
to
happen.
Bean didn't have time, but he is one of the leading proponents in the hatred of Barry Bonds. You've been paying such close attention to him, he drives you out of your mind.
Well, for a long time. Remember, we had the guy on last season when Barry was starting to get close, the walkbarrybonds.com, which I still think is the best idea, and I still think every pitcher in baseball should walk Barry Bonds every single time he gets up for as long as he wants to continue to try to play the game.
As long as he keeps waving at Brian. That's all that matters.
I think that's the important thing, right.
It just seems odd to me that when the commissioner of baseball doesn't know whether he's going to attend or not if he breaks, and Henry Aaron said he probably won't show up. I mean, it's not all the media. This guy is disliked in a lot of different
areas.
Dude,
it's racism.
Absolutely.
Especially with Henry Aaron.
What it is. Yeah.
Wendy in Garden Grove, good morning.
Good morning. What it do, nephew?
What it do?
What it do, Lisa?
Hey, Wendy.
Hi.
What's going on?
Okay, well, since the caller before thanked you, I want to thank you guys for sending me to Lincoln Park in London a few years ago.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's a good trip. The hell?
Yeah, that was a killer trip.
All right.
Wait, the Killers were there?
Nope.
No, not the Killers trip, Lincoln Park, but it was killer.
All right, no doubt. What else?
Okay, well, here's my deal. You know how you go to the gas station and you fill up your car and you pay for, like, a car wash, right?
Yes.
And you go drive to the car wash.
Yes.
How come there's always somebody directly in front of me that does not know what the hell they're doing? They don't know how to drive through. You know when you're done at the car wash, like the big blow dryer comes on to blow
sure.
dry your car?
Yeah, the automated car wash thing, yeah.
Yeah. They just, like, they sit there and they don't realize that they're supposed to drive through. You know what I mean?
And there's
right, the dryer kind of rolls over your car as you go past it.
Rolls over your car. And it even says on there in big flashing lights, drive through slowly.
Yeah. Please
but
pull
they just
forward.
Sit there and they wait for it to, like, move up or something. And meanwhile, I can't go through the car wash.
Yeah.
Well, I hope you just honk like hell.
Oh, I do.
I usually just slam on the gas and knock them right out. That's what I do.
Pull right up behind their butt, you know? Pull right up on their ass and honk at them, but they're just sitting there and they don't even go through and they're like, what do I do?
Yeah.
So
people don't really pay attention. When
drive under the thing. It will come up over your car.
Okay, Wendy, you need to work out some of
these
issues.
That's why I strap a big spare tire to my front bumper. And I get behind him, and I just show him I got first gear enough for two, baby.
I got four wheels enough. I just got a new car. Maybe I'll just...
There you go.
Yeah. Thank you, Wendy.
That's what you need to do.
Let's do one more. Let's do Jose in L.A., because this sounds like some trouble happening.
Jose?
Hello. What it do, nephew?
What it do?
Hey, Jose.
What it do, baby? Do you?
What's going on?
What's going on?
Nothing much. Okay, so I'm a truck driver. I drive big rigs, 18-wheelers.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Man's work.
So, go ahead.
I'm driving 710 freeway, between the 91 and the 405. I see this girl flashing.
Was it closer to the 91 or the 405?
We don't need that much information, Kevin.
How fast are you going?
It was starting to get to the good part. You saw what, Jose?
This girl flashing the driver. The girl was in the passenger seat.
Mm-hmm.
I hung my horn. The girl jumps, covers herself. The guy starts feeding on the girl, just, like, I guess, to tempt me or something.
What?
Yeah, he starts feeding on the girl.
How do you sit? Did you say sitting on the girl?
Feeding.
Feeling the girl.
Feeling.
Oh, I see.
Yeah,
okay,
you know,
I see.
Down there, her boobs and everything.
Right. Okay.
So I pull down my window and honk at them.
Right.
I start talking to the girl, trying to talk to her. She pulls down her window, starts flirting with me. The guy gets pissed off, drives off, pulls to the right of the freeway, just kicks her off and takes off.
He kicked her out of the car on the freeway?
On the freeway.
Did you pick her up?
No, actually, I have a wife and a kid, and I don't really want to mess that up.
You could have given her a ride.
That's all we're saying.
I know, it's okay.
She was doing the right thing.
It's okay if you left the lawn on the freeway.
It's okay if she walks.
She gave you
didn't ask for it. You were asking for it. She gave you a couple of moments of joy, and you can't pull over and give her a ride, so to speak.
Oh, well.
No.
Well, you're a bad person.
What can I do?
You're not.
You roll down the window. You're honking horn. You're flirting with her, which causes her boyfriend to boot her out.
Hey, she didn't ever put down her window, started talking to me at the first time.
Well, we didn't say he had a banger. We said don't leave the poor girl stranded on the freeway. She's just out there trying to have a good time. At least give her a ride off the freeway.
Drive her to a gas station. She can make a phone call or something.
She's okay.
She's okay.
At least you want to encourage that kind of behavior is all we're saying.
I don't know.
All right. All right.
You're a bad man.
Yeah. He is a bad man.
You're bad man, Jose. Come a little bit closer.
She's okay.
Kind of.
That's okay. I want to thank our guest, my Lord and Savior, John Schoen. He is the senior producer of MSNBC.com, does a lot of business articles for him. And if you want to find this article we've been talking about, why the one-day gas boycott won't work, despite the email that you get 20 times a day, then you can find it at MSNBC.com. And it was originally published on May 6th. And thanks to John for coming on the show today.
I haven't seen that yet. Being at KROQ.com is my email address.
I got it.
Send that to me at KROQ.com.
How about the beautiful Amanda Peet? Was she fantastic today?
All day long.
Talking about her new film called The X. It opens up.
She wasn't
flirting with me. Oh, she could not stop.
She her boyfriend pulled her over and let her out of the car.
She's on the freeway right now.
She's missing. So if anyone knows Amanda Peet, please call her agent.
We're going to put up some pictures of her on phone poles around West Hollywood because we don't know where she is.
Tomorrow morning, an all new Kevin and Bean show. We have J.S. Jaguar talking about the NHL playoffs.
Not getting jiggy with it.
The Ducks are playing the Red Wings in the Western Finals.
How about that?
Red Wings are my brothers. Red Wings are brothers with all the Red Wings.
Also, comedian Joe Rogan on the show tomorrow. He's going to be in studio doing some stand-up. Zach Braff is in that movie, The X, as well. He's going to be on the show tomorrow.
Maybe he knows where Amanda Peet is.
Maybe he does. And we're going to talk to the people behind the Free Paris website, because seriously, she is being wronged.
FreeParis.org.
Being railroaded.
And K-Rock, when you roast Fiesta tickets tomorrow morning.
But those guys put up the FreeParis.org to try to make sure she doesn't do jail time. Then somebody else put up a site to try to encourage the governor to pardon her so she doesn't have to go. Then somebody else put up another site encouraging the governor to make sure that she serves the time. Mm-hmm. It's a whole industry now, this Paris Hilton going to jail thing.
Yeah. But it has to stay even. As long as there's an even amount of websites, she goes. That's the way it works.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that'll be good for tomorrow.
Stay tuned now for the amazing Tammy Heidi.
Kat Corbett is up next with 40 minutes nonstop, including The Killers, also Pennywise, Red Hot Chili Peppers, Nirvana, new music from Interpol, Bad Religion, and more. It's all straight ahead right after this on K-Rock.